Yo. Real Radio
104.1.
The News Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the News Junkie for a Thursday, January 31st, 2019. Lots to get to today, from hell is officially frozen over, for real, to an unbelievable story of a shocking sex injury, and an interview with a missing attorney's friend, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
We should all do this together, I think. I'm thinking about it before the thing we're going to talk about. You guys don't have to. I've just put this out there, but I want to hereby resign my position with iHeartMedia, making me no longer an employee of this company, and making me free to win a trip to the Super Bowl, because I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is a fair setup.
I heard it.
We give away a trip to the Super Bowl, for God's sakes, and these people, somebody who finds out today on the station, they're going to pack their bags and haul ass today for a big, giant, extended vacation, Super Bowl, after parties.
Oh, my God. It's an insane trip. Like, usually when there's giveaways like that, it's like, hey, we're going to put you on the flight right before you get there, but you're going to have to leave, and then that's about it. No.
Right.
You leave tomorrow. It's like 4 days, expenses paid. They even have your Uber tab.
Right. I saw that. They're, like, giving you money for incidentals and cash to buy fun stuff.
I'm not going to quit iHeartMedia, but I do want to inform my girlfriend that she is kicked out of the house.
We heard today that our significant others may be eligible if they don't live at the same place that we live.
Son of a bitch.
So I'm sorry, Courtney. Pack the bag.
Maybe all get an apartment together.
We'll put them in together in the meantime. I mean, it's a short period of time here, but just until we give away the Super Bowl passes to see if we could get them. Damn if this isn't a good prize. And good on Jimmy D, our promotions guy, for snagging this and setting us up with
look
it.
At him getting
so here's how this works. If you aren't familiar with this, go to realradio.fm/Pepsi. And you're a fool if you don't, because somebody today who enters this contest is going to win an all-expenses-paid trip to the Super Bowl. Like, you're going to move. You're going to start flying tomorrow. Stay in a hotel for, like, 4 nights. All kinds of extra goodies for you and, like, swag bags. And you're staying in Pepsi's section inside the arena there or wherever they play. Is it Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, it's the Mercedes-Benz Arena, the new one that has the, like, the flower petal set up.
Yeah.
The roof.
It's going to be beautiful, and unfortunately, we are not eligible. So, in that spirit, we bestow upon you the ability to possibly go to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Take out your phones, your laptops, your desktop computers. If you got some old Macintosh in the corner, slap it around. Wake it up.
Good morning.
Go to realradio.fm/Pepsi. You click a couple of buttons. They're not even asking for much information. And you are registered. And somebody's going to find out today, I think, toward the tail end of the Jim Colbert show.
6:45, they will draw the winner live on the air. And you will find out that you are the recipient of the round-trip coach airfare for two, standard hotel room 4 nights, 2 tickets to the Super Bowl provided by Pepsi, 2 tickets to a Super Bowl party, game day transportation, $500 to spend on either a rental car or taxis or Ubers, $250 spending money on a gift card and 2 commemorative gift bags.
How about that? Go to realradio.fm/Pepsi and do this. Somebody will be the big winner today. I feel like I would love to win something like that. And then I know this is bad and I know it's dangerous. I'd do it maybe in the middle of nowhere. I've always wanted to do like the celebratory gunfire thing, you know? Just like, you know, Yosemite Sam or something.
Just by yourself or in front of a group of people?
No, nowhere near any human beings. So just celebrating and bam, bam, you know, some kind of celebration shot for a moment like that would be something to behold. Because I don't know, let's look up tickets to the Super Bowl on StubHub, C-Lane, see what they're going for. Because that is a big, fat prize that we're giving out today. So tell your friends, or don't tell your friends if you want to be selfish about it. Don't give them the opportunity to win. Realradio.fm/Pepsi. You can go sign up now. And that's all told, got to be a ton of money that they are investing in flying you and a friend out. Your new best friend, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Or you probably get real close with somebody that you've maybe been trying to date or something.
Yeah, I mean, okay, does the fine print say we can't win, but can we be that person's plus one?
I don't know. I looked just barely at the terms and conditions, and I already resigned, so there's that. But I think maybe they could take us along if they were really, really being kind.
And you owe us, if you think about
it. Yeah, we're the ones who told you about it, for God's sake. So go there, get it all signed up.
See, the lowest price in the upper corner, section 305. Row 27. So you looks like you're probably pretty high up there. Let me see.
In the sky watching the Super Bowl, not Pepsi Zone seats.
Yeah. I mean, it says row 27, but it looks like the highest row is 25. So I don't even know if this.
So you're floating in the air.
27. I don't even know if
you're
this
on one of the pedals over the top of the stadium.
I'm not even sure if this seat exists, but if it does, $2,370.
Oh my God.
Now.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
What are the best ones?
In the SunTrust Club, you can get a ticket for $24,950.
Oh my God.
That's two to four tickets. And where is the SunTrust Club? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right on the 50-yard line.
You get to see the halftime show, all the action on the field. And what a giveaway that is.
There's two suites that are on StubHub right now.
Yeah, how much are those?
I wonder if this is a game where this person plans on using their suite unless somebody wants to pay this exorbitant amount that they've offered it for.
Yeah, they just put it out there just in case.
But there's two suites. One of them just says suite. The other says that there's 22 actual seats in the suite. And the $250,750.
My God.
Or the other one's just $275,000 flat out.
Wow, what a deal.
Is it just a stadium of filthy rich people?
It has to be at that point. A filthy rich people and you, if you go to realradio.fm/Pepsi. This stuff is getting more expensive. I noticed that. My son texted me yesterday, right? He wants to go to this big concert that I hadn't heard of before this, but it's like a massive Miami show called Rolling Loud. Yeah, Rolling Loud, which is big. I mean, it's like a three-day thing with some of the biggest names in music right now.
And if I understand correctly, at least one of the founders is from right here in Orlando.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me see here. Because Dylan texted me asking for tickets to this. I was like, how much? How much is this? Let's see here. He said, I think it's $260 he asked me for.
$260?
Oh, no, $500.
What?
He's like, have you seen the Rolling Loud lineup? I need $500.
How chill he is about asking for that money.
No big whoop. I'm just going to need this. He said, it's like my entire playlist of favorite artists all at one a concert. He goes, I know they got to make that money. Jesus, man. Wow. So that's how expensive things are getting to get in the door at an event like that, Rolling Loud, which is going down in Miami. He's not going to be going if it's on me. I told him to get a job. He said he's selling his Yeezys. So
how much are those?
I have no idea. A couple hundred dollars or something. I don't think that's what his grandmother or aunt intended when she bought that for him as a Christmas present.
Yeah, but you know, YOLO.
There you go. He's doing it right now. There's also a situation we need to talk about at UCF where they have found a student. He was charged with having an illegal modified AR-15 with a bump stock, which obviously we know from the Las Vegas thing. And detectives at the University of Central Florida say they arrested an engineering student for keeping an illegally modified weapon in his car on campus. They said Max Chambers was arrested after finding an AR-15 assault weapon in his car. They had a police press conference talking about this. Let's just listen in a little bit here.
Not a standard model semi-automatic rifle, but a converted, fully automatic one. Chambers also was in possession of several knives, which is a violation of UCF housing contract, and several legally owned firearms that were in compliance with the university policy.
That's something called
state law,
drop-in auto
the
sears.
University policy allows adults to possess lawfully concealed firearms or weapons within their private conveyance, such as a vehicle, so long as the items are securely encased or otherwise not readily accessible for immediate use. The policy prohibits possession, use, or storage of weapons on university-owned or controlled property, including residence halls.
So he had the guns, a lot of them legally. He's an aficionado of weapons, but you're not allowed to have modified guns, which is what he had. Now, to be clear, I know that puts a lot of people at UCF and parents of people at UCF on edge. There's no suggestion whatsoever that this guy had threatened anybody or talked about any kind of threat. It was just that he had this weapon, and it had something called drop-in auto sears, which can be used to convert a semi-automatic rifle into an automatic weapon. Florida's ban on bump fire stocks prohibits the possession of any device that alters the firing rate of a gun to replicate automatic weapon fire. That's a newer ban there, and something that is coming up in this case and others. So there's that. Lots of stuff to get into today. We'll get to the Jussie Smollett updates, some wild twists and turns in that case that we talked about yesterday. And it's cold as hell outside, but not nearly as cold as it is in the Midwest, including some particular places. Wait till you hear just how bad it's getting. Details and dispatches coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your direct line to the heroes that saved Canada that one time. It's the News Junkie. The
What a cold, cold week. And I know even suggesting this in the state of Florida is something that people in every other state in the union shake their head at. Like, what are you talking about? Man, the folks in the Midwest this week dealing with the polar vortex, I feel for you. When I'm seeing like negative 25 degrees, I don't even know what you do. I mean, you have to have layers upon layers upon layers upon layers, I'd suggest, right?
Yeah, but if you're going out at all, I mean, really, if you even have layers upon layers upon layers, you shouldn't be outside.
It's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard some report this morning that officials over in the Midwest are saying if you are going outside, don't breathe in deep.
What?
And try not to talk because you could freeze your lungs.
What?
Isn't that insane?
Is that if you breathe in too deep, you like swallow the cold air and you could freeze your lungs?
They're saying if you're going outside, try not to talk and try not to breathe in deep.
What, Sabrina, is the coldest weather you've ever been in?
Like -3 when I was very young, so I barely remember it.
Yeah, see, because for me, it's like it was right around that. I think -4, -3, right around there when I was in Chicago. And I do remember that there wasn't a big difference between like 10 and -5 or something. But what I've heard is -25, you go outside, and the moment you come back inside somewhere,
oh, the polar vortex just stopped.
It's done. We're in Florida. The moment you go back inside somewhere, you're dry, like your skin starts peeling.
Oh, yeah, it could be within 5 minutes if you have any exposed skin that you get frostbite.
That is freaky. See, like, I don't know, have you ever even been in the snow?
This is it. This is the coldest I'm dying. Nah.
Too much for him.
I've seen snow falling once. I've been around snow a small handful of times. My cousin got married. He went to Notre Dame, so he got married in South Bend.
Uh-huh.
And as a just courtesy to all of his Floridian family, got married in January.
Oh, nice. That was very nice of him.
Complete dick.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, flew up there, and I wasn't dressed ready for cold. And then when I landed at my layover in Cincinnati, it was one of those.
Wait, are you wearing like flip flops and a T-shirt?
Like probably T-shirt, maybe jeans. Might have been shorts. I don't remember, man.
Jesus,
it's been a long time.
You're gonna die.
This is my only time. The first time flying by myself, and I was in like grade school or something like that. And as I went, and the Cincinnati layover, there was no gangway or hangar or whatever. What's the thing that you call the walkway that attaches to the plane?
We'll call it
whatever you just called it.
And
the gangway.
And so we had to take the stairs down and walk on the tarmac, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in for a hell of a weekend.
Still nothing compared to what they were dealing with this week. Polar vortex by the numbers, 6 states and U.S. record temperatures as low as the South Pole. And then, of course, you hear news stories like this one, which is when you know it's really, really, really cold. Listen to this.
And we all know the saying, when hell freezes over, and that's actually happening in Hell, Michigan. Yeah, the town about 15 miles northwest of Ann Arbor felt temperatures drop to about 10 degrees below zero Wednesday. Fox 47 alum Jason Colthorpe takes a trip to hell to see how people living there are getting by.
All right, let's do a pun count, because the reporter in hell when it's freezing is destined to drop some puns through this thing, I'm thinking.
I'm hoping.
Why is there a Hell, Michigan to begin with? That seems like a bad idea. But they've named it that, and we're stuck with it. And every time it freezes over, well, you get this.
I am so going to hell.
God.
Find out how cold it is there today.
Oh, I see.
So cold, in fact, that it's actually shut down some businesses for the next couple of days.
I'm standing on one of the lakes in hell. So, yeah, not only is it a cold day in hell, hell has frozen over.
This guy.
Well, almost.
I call myself the groundskeeper in hell.
Jerry is one of the few people venturing outside today.
Are you surprised that nobody's out ice fishing today?
I'm not surprised with the temperature and the wind. It's a brutal day in hell.
This guy is cornball as it gets. I'm in hell, seeing it frozen over. And now he's talking to groundskeeper Willie or something about just how bad things have gotten there.
Groundskeeper Satan.
Yeah, groundskeeper Satan. Oh,
did
no.
Did someone say my name?
When you say Satan around here, you know what happens, C-Lane.
Well, I mean, Christ.
I didn't know you lived in Michigan, Satan.
I don't. It's an old property, honestly, and I'm pissed.
Why?
Because I am just planned with my financial advisor to open up something new over there.
Oh, and now you think this is going to be bad press for hell.
Terrible for my branding.
Are your Eagles doing okay?
Eagles good, but... I mean, there was a close call there.
Oh, was it? Yeah,
yeah.
The weather will do it to those birds, I would imagine.
So crispy, but I put it under my Satan armpit and warmed it up. But I do got a plan B.
What's plan B?
I'm hoping I can use your platform here, your big radio show, to share it.
Who are we to not let Satan have Satan's say?
Thank you. Hey, everybody, it's me, your favorite friend, Satan. You may have heard the news, but hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
But don't worry, there's a second spot and a discount with your name on it.
Oh, but there's another location you got.
Hell 2.
Huh. Okay.
Located in sunny DeLand.
That adds up.
If you're looking...
Why'd you choose DeLand?
Why are you cackling like that? I'm trying to sell this, dude.
I mean, just it seems like DeLand, Florida is an interesting location for Hell 2.
I mean, cheap when it comes to the property.
It was the property values. All right, I see.
But what I saved in money, you're going to save in not having a bad time.
Oh.
So if your nips could cut diamonds, get on a plane and come on over to DeLand, Florida.
So you would encourage people to maybe temporarily go from hell where it's frozen over to hell too?
Yes, and right now we're doing 6-month leases, and if you use the promo code Satan, it's hot in here, I'll give you 10% off plus a mug.
Wow.
Yeah.
A mug.
Satan.com/help2 and sign up today.
I hope that you didn't get your mug, Satan, from the same place that Chris Hansen purchased his. It seems like they're very expensive.
No, that guy's a moron.
You got a good deal then.
Also, him and I had a very close call where I almost ended up on his show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not because of like kid stuff. I was trying to.
I was just gonna say you're not chatting with underage kids online, Satan.
Well, I'm chatting with them, but not for sex to make them actually, you know, kind of advocate for hell. Bring in the younger demo.
You're fishing for recruits over there.
100%, but there he is, Chris Hansen. I'm like, Chris, don't even start. You know the juice I got on you.
Yeah, that's true. Some demons in that closet, you could say.
As far as Hell, Michigan goes, you could suck it.
Just the whole place?
Yeah. You haven't answered my emails. I try to open up a little
Caesar's
there.
They're freezing to death.
Yeah, but they have no problem using my name for all their wordplay on word stuff.
I don't know that the internet even works when it's -7 degrees.
I'm sick of it!
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear about hell.
I have like four different locations.
I didn't know about how widespread your portfolio was when it comes to property.
It's 2019, man. It's invest, folders, CDs, invest.
Well, good luck with the land hell too.
Thank you very much. And if you guys want to get a tour,
yeah,
email me.
Okay. What's that address?
Satan@satan.com /Satan.
You got a very, very good domain.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that.
It's funny that you were so concerned about Satan's Eagles, because I think the I don't know if it's the just a coincidence or if the cold is taking its toll, but I found a dead bird in my backyard last
really?
Night. Actually, my dog found a dead bird in the backyard last night.
Did your dog eat the dead bird?
No, she just kind of like sniffed it and kind of was checking it out. And I was like, what is over there? She's fixated on something.
So you got my present.
That's very nice of you.
Of course. I'm here to give.
Thank you, Satan.
See ya.
Take it easy. We'll go back to this report just to see if this guy gets any cornier real quick.
It's colder than hell.
Indeed. So with the temperatures
Indeed.
Dropping and those winds picking up, we rushed to find hell's only emergency warming center.
Just warming up in hell.
You guys have any coffee or hot chocolate?
I got some for you.
Oh, that was totally planned.
Yeah. This is very natural conversation.
I think I can get something for you.
I got this under control. Let's go over to Buddy. Go ahead, Buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, I actually been in minus 50 below without the wind in New Hampshire back in 81. Some of the things you have to experience is you got to blink a lot and have to wear goggles because your eyes will actually freeze.
Really? You have to blink a lot because like your eyelashes would freeze?
Your eyeballs would freeze.
Your eyeballs would freeze?
Yeah, and you can't breathe in deep because your nostrils will actually burn, and you're right, your lungs will actually freeze up on you.
Buddy, when it's negative 50 like you're talking about, how many layers of clothing are we talking about?
As many as you can.
Okay, buddy, question for you.
And as soon as you get it all on you outside, you know you have to go to the bathroom, so it sucks.
Speaking of bathroom, Jesus,
yeah,
buddy.
So many layers on.
I'm just going to talk
so
right
over. You have to go back inside.
Buddy, hang on.
What happens if you fart in that?
It stays with you.
It just hangs out.
Does it turn into a block of like solid gas almost? Is it bad for your pH?
It doesn't get to the layers.
Huh.
It stays with you.
You were suggesting that maybe the fart would freeze and just like a light bulb type structure stuck to you.
That, or could you essentially cause some sort of like freezing of your colon?
I've seen all sorts of videos in this weather where people are just tossing liquid out and then it freezes before it hits the ground.
I saw it during the show yesterday, and it was some guy on CNN had a Yeti full of like steaming hot water or coffee or something. They throw it in the air and it just...
Did you see the girl who went out with the wet hair?
No.
Look this up. Let's put it on See It Now. I'm, like, always throwing these at you at the last
Surprise.
Moment. There's this girl who went out in the freezing cold in the Midwest with her hair wet, and it froze up in the air like a treasure troll. And like her entire hair, I think she whipped it or something, got frozen straight up in the air.
Oh my God.
And it looks so bizarre. We'll put that up in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app as soon as we locate that. I do want to share something with you because this is the sexiest story, not only of the day, of the damn week, folks.
Oh.
This is as sexy gets. I don't know why this lady was so horny, but she was ready to go. RTG, as they say. Austin police arrested a semi-nude woman who was pleasuring herself at two street-level patios Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you for verifying that they were street-level.
It's right there on the strip in Austin. The woman, 26-year-old Dovey Nichols, has been charged with indecent exposure.
More like Dovey Knuckles.
She's in jail on $3,000
nice.
Bond. Two officers responded to a complaint from the Marriott Hotel around 5:20. So this is 5:20 p.m. It might still be bright outside.
Mm-hmm.
They encounter this woman, Dovey Nichols, across the street, sitting alone at a patio table at a place called Second Bar Plus Kitchen. And when an officer approached, she stopped moving her arms under the table and placed them on top of it, the document said. That's when officers observed that Nichols was not wearing any pants at the time. Officers said she continued to masturbate even after she was handcuffed and placed in the back seat of a patrol vehicle.
God, extremely horny.
Police went across the street to investigate the original complaint and learned from a JW Marriott employee that Nichols had been spotted at the hotel building's patio earlier that day. The employee told police he saw her holding a, quote, silver object to her genitals with her legs straight up in the air, spread open.
This oh, my God.
Right out of the patio.
This has to be, she had to have been doing it for a webcam or something.
He could hear Nichols making moaning noises. He told police she yelled at him to get back when he tried to approach her.
Back up! Back up!
Then the employee said, and it sounds like the employee was diligently watching this. The employee said she was masturbating on the patio for approximately 7 or 8 minutes before heading to another bar across the street. She was revved up and ready to go and get ready for C-Lane to get angry. Because let's take a look at her mugshot. Dovie Nichols is who you guys are looking for. D-O-V-I-E. And her last name, N-I-C-K-E-L-S.
Don't say it.
This has got to go up on See It
Come
Now.
Come on, man.
Look at the mugshot and tell me that doesn't, the lady masturbating out there.
I would have thought this was a fake story if I saw that mugshot.
If you saw that mugshot. She's having an interesting day, this Dovie Nichols. The 26-year-old charged with indecent exposure in this situation. So, that's...
Who, me?
That's a pretty fantastic mugshot after this lovely event. She was just... very, very excited about things.
Oh, Dovie.
You should be excited to go over to the See It Now section of the News Junkie app and take a look at that mugshot now. There is a great story out today. We haven't seen a lot in terms of interesting controversy in the run-up to the Super Bowl, but I did like this one. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not. The guy who got fired from the Pittsburgh TV station.
I did not.
There is an employee who worked for, it's a big TV station in Pittsburgh, KDKA. And they were doing some of the stuff from the press events in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady was speaking at one of them. And this guy was in charge of the Chiron. And he put Tom Brady, known cheater, on the Chiron.
Oh, wow.
And people got, I guess, really pissed off. And they fired the guy for it. Which, I mean, just trying to screw around, but I guess they don't want you messing around with that kind of stuff.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, KDKA shared this statement. They said, while fans are entitled to have personal opinions, we have a journalistic responsibility to provide unbiased reporting. The graphic that appeared this Monday violated our news standards. The individual who created the graphic no longer works for KDKA television. So, unfortunately, he was fired, but everybody's trying to get a hold of him now. There's already interviews with the guy who did it.
I mean, he had to have known he was going to get fired for that.
Yeah, you mess around with the Chiron on a straightforward news station, and you're going to get a talking to, and that's exactly what happened to this guy. Some saluting him as a hero, others saying, you just can't do that stuff. We're back in just a moment with your dispatches. They're piling up, and some other awkward moments for this Super Bowl preparation stuff with the media gaggles. Everything that's happening here this week is it's got a lot of eyes on it. But this moment was extremely notable, and you'll hear it next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. From Real Radio.
Dispensing unsolicited advice on a wide range of pointless topics. It's the News Junkie.
We'll get into the dispatches in just a moment. Quick note, if you have the News Junkie app, make sure you update if you're an iOS user, because there were some people who were saying with the latest update they couldn't listen to secret shows and go into chat and do things like they used to before. There's a fix out there that's going to help you out. If you don't have the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. But if you do and you're on iOS, grab that update now and it should stabilize things just a bit. The Super Bowl is right around the corner. Excitement is building. We're sending somebody and a friend away today to go to the damn Super Bowl. All expenses paid trip. All you have to do is go to realradio.fm/Pepsi for that. realradio.fm/Pepsi. Sign up now. It's so easy.
It's really hard to read all the stuff that we're not getting.
I know. I'm so pissed off when I see these emails. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to add this to it, too.
Hotel for 4 nights, 2 tickets to the Super Bowl, 2 tickets to a Super Bowl party, game day transportation, $500 rental car taxi, $250 spending, 2 commemorative gift bags.
Question about the $500 rental car or taxi.
Can you pocket that?
Yeah. I mean, because I could probably in 4 days spend $100 of that on Ubers. I mean, especially if I'm in another city and I want to go outside seeing, like, it's cool. Like, you're flying out Friday. You get Friday and Saturday to kind of check out Atlanta, and there's a lot of cool stuff to do there.
But aren't they going to have Super Bowl surge pricing going on?
Probably.
That's why you have $200.
But
yeah, that's still a lot.
But there's game day transportation. So on Sunday, to and from the game, you're all set.
You're taken care of.
So really, you're just talking about what you're going to do, you know, from the airport to the hotel and then going out sightseeing.
You could make it a vacation that you also bring money back from, which is unheard of. We all go on vacation and spend too much money every time.
Thanks a lot, Las Vegas.
Or just you have some padding there to, like, kind of go crazy with. You know, go see. There's a lot of cool stuff in Atlanta. I haven't been in very many years, but I remember when I did go. Maybe more of a kid thing, but I know some adults will dig it. The tour at the World of Coca-Cola is badass.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, thank God this is brought to you by Pepsi.
Oh, gosh. Dump that.
It's too late. It's too late now.
We don't have to use it for the air check. Don't worry.
He meant it's terrible. It's god awful.
Like, ass bad. Just...
Wouldn't that be the irony of it all, that you use this trip go on that tour?
Did you think, you know what, that thing I said yesterday wasn't far enough out there. Let me see what I can do.
Let's burn all the bridges.
See, Lane is just a radio wrecking ball.
I liked it.
Here we go. Oh, God. We won't send that over with the rest of them. You can go to realradio.fm/Pepsi.
Son of a bitch.
P-E-P-S-I, the best beverage out there.
Better believe it.
You can go check out that page and sign up to get these Super Bowl tickets. And you and your friend are going to go out there, or loved one, whoever you want to take, a hotel, everything you could ask for. You'd be stupid not to go there now and at least give this a shot. So that will be announced later on today on the Jim Colbert Show. And you can go to realradio.fm/Pepsi until they take that away from us. Thanks to C-Lane. Mm-hmm. The football action is heating up regardless. And the NFL commissioner, who it seems like everybody hates. This guy gets booed more than anybody.
Roger
Goodell. He was asked a lot of questions at this press conference. Bunch of them about the Colin Kaepernick stuff. But there were a lot of people upset about that call. The call that led to the Super Bowl we see with the Los Angeles Rams and the Patriots. But the New Orleans Saints thought they got ripped off, and so there were a bunch of questions about, what do we do about this? What do you think? Let's see what Roger Goodell said.
Roger, Jeff Duncan of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune in New Orleans.
Of course it's going to be this
where,
guy.
You are a trending topic once again. just in time for Mardi Gras, I might add.
Can't wait to see that.
Can you address the no call that marred the end of the NFC Championship game, specifically what and how the league handled it internally, both that night and in the days thereafter?
Is this the best microphone that they could find?
Yes, Sean.
Will there be any repercussions on the officials involved? And finally, what can the league do, if anything, to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again?
You know what I would be so bad at? If I was up there, just the way my brain works, if somebody goes, I've got a 6-part question. First question is, why did this happen? And then this, and an addendum, this. At the end, I would only remember the last question.
Exactly.
I would not be able to recall all these additional ones, but maybe you can.
Well, Jeff, let me start just on the basis. Listen, we understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. We understand the frustration that they feel right now, and we certainly want to address that. So whenever officiating is part of any kind of discussion post-game,
He said it was a play that should be called. I can't whatever's going on with that microphone. And Roger Goodell is just all around kind of boring.
He really could have changed his ways by, you know, calling it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would have been something. That would have been some damn excitement.
It would have been history.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, but that didn't happen. They let the score stand as final.
I'm sure Roger Goodell is quite aware that a lot of people hate him.
Yeah, I agree.
So if he were to make that call, yes, it would have been a historical moment in the history of the NFL, to sound redundant. There would have been just all the rage directed in his general direction.
Sure, and then you know what happens?
To also sound redundant.
You, sir, are on fire.
What's going on with you today? You got a fever?
I like it. I wasn't feeling well earlier, and you truly have made me, like, think I'm okay now.
You doubled up the redundancies.
This is the same time of day that I made yesterday's promo.
Oh, God. Let's go over some dispatch.
What's the last promo I made? I'm doing it. Today I'm going to say something real funny.
Let's just go to these. Here's Adrian Mama with a dispatch from the News Junkie app.
So when I was 18 years old is when I started working in a daycare. Back then, I used to have the big kids, the school-agers. I always used to tell myself, I would never have any kids, I would never have any kids, I would never have any kids. These kids are horrible, I would never have any kids.
Monsters.
Needless to say, I ended up with 3 kids. But anyways, back then, I used to tell myself, if I ever have any kids, my punishment for them, it's not going to be hitting them. It's not going to be anything like that. My punishment is going to be just running to the wall. How bad, depending on how severe the damage was or whatever it was that they did or whatever trouble they got into.
Make them run into the wall?
Then it would be how many times they would have to run into the wall.
Jeez.
It never happened. I wish it did. Sometimes. But my kids are great anyways, so they didn't have to run into any walls at all.
All right, I'll remember that. Parents out there, you know, the kids act up, you just make them run full speed into the wall or at a speed that is directly connected to the level of infraction that they've committed. Here's Snacks with a dispatch.
Alexa, intruder alert.
Okay, no monkey business, says Dookie and or Snacks. Snack bar, skinny, slim, skins, snackers, and also Duke.
What's happening?
I don't know. Is that a...
No! That's not what Alexa does if you say intruder alert, is it?
I mean, it sounded like her, and he's having a good time.
Yeah, he's having a blast. He's dying right now. All right, that's it. Thank you, Snacks, I think. Let's go over to Cam.
Hey, News Junkies. Hope everybody's doing all right. Just wanted to talk about the beer cups that y'all were talking about yesterday that fill from the bottom. So at the bottom of each one of those glasses, there's a metal ring, kind of like a washer that they have down there. And then those little covers or the little circular covers are magnets. Okay, so
I think we figured that out already.
It shoots it up through the bottom, and then the magnet seals it back down.
Yeah, we already know how to do that. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it. One more, real quick. Here's Fancy Nancy.
Oh my God, you guys! So, what is the deal with these two new app users that reference Fancy Nancy's feet? Like, is it a fetish thing?
Feet are a thing.
Is it like a stalkery thing?
Fill me in.
What the hell?
I haven't heard about this. What's happening?
Somebody sent me a picture
of Fancy Nancy's feet.
No. Somebody registered on the app as "I want to tickle Fancy Nancy's feet."
I mean, that's direct,
specific. It's focused.
It's a little creepy.
It's a lot creepy.
I was always under the impression that foot fetishes were different from tickle fetishes.
Sometimes they cross over. There's an intersection,
yeah,
I think.
If the fetish is tickling feet, I think it's both are in there.
They'll get right there, and there will be a crossover fetish where they're like both of them. Let's see how Fancy Nancy's handling
it. Is the deal? Is it like a giggle thing?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
they're in your feet.
I think she's interested.
Oh my gosh. On a serious note, there's some stuff going on here with my mom.
Oh, no.
just some family stuff going on, and I just want to say a great big thank you to my friends who have called and texted and just shown their love and support from afar. It means so, so much to me, and it's more appreciated than I can ever express. So,
well, that's good.
I love you. All right, have a great day. For real, what is the deal with the Fancy Nancy's feet?
It just happened.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Fancy Nancy, and wishing the best for your mother there. That's terrible to hear.
Yeah, I think whoever's doing this is trying to place a blame somewhere.
What do you mean?
Both the... unless it's just completely a coincidence, both of the email addresses attached to these accounts start with B-L-A-N-E.
B-Lane. I hope it's your dad. No. If it's your dad.
Oh, so do I.
If it's B-Lane. And he's letting out that he's got a...
Well, son, that's how I met your mother. I tickled her feet.
Sit down, C-Lane. We got to have a conversation. I wanted to let you know.
First of all, my dad doesn't call me C-Lane.
Sit down, Christopher. We want to chat, and he'd be telling you about his long-held foot fetish and that he was into Fancy Nancy's feet.
That's how you were conceived.
And his Cavalier King Charles Spaniel would be barking the entire time in the background.
Don't talk about his brother like that.
When we come back, I've told you guys about some things to be aware of, be afraid of, even on the way to work. The dangers that lurk out there. And I guess there's yet another one for folks living in Central Florida. You might want to hear this lest you put your life in danger. Those details are next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Brought to you by International Diamond Center. From Real Radio. Download the app and earn a badge that matches your corrupt soul. The News Junkie.
Oh, this is a good one. This may be, and I'm not trying to grandstand here, but I'm totally gonna grandstand. This may be my best theft of a This Week in Florida story in the history of this show.
Whoa.
Just snaking it on a Thursday before C-Lane does This Week in Florida.
Saw the story, never expected for it to last. Till tomorrow.
This is a story that I read through and I said it's fake. There's no way that that's real. The mugshot, which you'll see in a bit on See It Now, is too good to be true. The details are too unbelievable. It's fake. It's fake news.
Only in Florida.
But it's real. It's a real story. And it's from Tampa. They say a man is accused of giving his ailing wife meth, and he told authorities he threw her a death party before she died. Now that...
Okay.
If you found out you were dying, I like this idea. Like, they go, the doctor goes, I've got some bad news, Mr. Wasson. And I go, what is it? You're going to die in a week.
No.
I love the idea of going, well, I might as well hit the gas pedal then.
Yeah.
I'm not, let me be clear about this before I say it. I'm not recommending that anybody do drugs, but I would smoke crack if I was dying tomorrow.
Would that be your drug of choice?
I would try it at least. I would go with some crack. I would mix it up. Like, what's the weird stuff? Flocka? I'd try some Flocka. So I would at least try some Flocka tomorrow.
I think I'd go right to black tar heroin if I'm going to die the next day.
Get down into it. And if you did one of those, you just kind of fade into oblivion. You'd have a death party, for God's sake. And that's what this guy was doing. And waiting to hear the details of said death party. The Mankato Free Press reported that Dwayne Arden Johnson, 58 years old, he looks every bit of 98 at 58. And take a look at this damn mugshot on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. He was charged with criminal neglect and receiving stolen property after his wife's death on Thursday. Deputies said Johnson called 911, it's right around noontime, to report that his wife, Deborah Lynn Johnson, 69 years old, had died. Officers arrived at the couple's home and found the words, Death Parade, God Hell, spray-painted on the front door.
Fatality.
Death Parade, God Hell, spray-painted on the front door of the house, and a naked Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, the different guy, Dwayne Arden Johnson.
Sounds more like Dwayne the Johnson.
Yeah. A naked Dwayne Johnson allegedly ran outside and said his wife was dead, then ran back inside to take a bath. He was found in the bathtub hallucinating and trying to wash white and black things from his skin, according to deputies.
Okay.
Deborah Johnson's body was found wrapped in a sheet on the top of the stairs. They said that Deborah had been living in a nursing home, but Dwayne checked her out days earlier because she wanted to die at home. Dwayne Johnson said they took meth and she stopped taking her medications.
Holy crap.
Next sentence, a doozy. They spent their final hours having sex and listening to Quiet Riot. They were just doing meth.
I don't even know what to use for trivia tomorrow.
Having sex. Yeah, there's too many details. And listening to Quiet Riot. Let's bring ourselves there. Can you bring up some Quiet Riot for the system? We've got to have some.
Of course I have
so,
some.
So let's imagine being in their house. They've already spray-painted Death Parade God Hell on the door. The 58 and 69-year-olds are partying up. They're doing a little bit of meth.
And they're doing it, and now Quiet Riot.
Put a little Quiet Riot on. Yeah. Like, let's get into this a little more. Having sex and listening to this. For your death party. Dwayne said Deborah began having convulsions, but wouldn't let him call the police. After she died, Johnson said he washed his wife's body and wrapped her in linen like the Bible told me to do. He said he waited several hours to call 911 because he wanted to make sure she was dead.
My God.
They searched the house.
You
they
think
found...
that means he...
What? Afterward? Why do you gotta make it weird, C-Lane?
I don't know,
it's
man.
Weird enough. It's weird enough already.
It was one Quiet Riot song, you know.
If listening to some Quiet Riot.
It was her favorite song. I think it was just on repeat.
One?
Yeah, Metal Health, which is interesting considering how crazy both of them are.
Oh, do we have this?
I don't think we have Metal Health.
Oh, C-Lane, see if you can find it on YouTube. Because I want to be in the zone with the exact moment. They're doing meth. They're partying. It's a death party between this elderly couple.
This is party all night. I mean, really, all these songs would be perfect for a death party.
Hell yeah. You want something with a little excitement.
Don't want to let you go. Party all night. Come on, feel the noise.
And I got Metal Health here.
There we go.
This is the one that we're playing in the house. All right, let's do some meth. Oh, good God.
The other title of the song is Bang Your Head.
I think I've heard this before. What a time, man.
Seriously.
So, in a way, I think the guy's kind of a hero. His wife was dying, and he didn't want her in the nursing home. He wanted her to have a good time as she met, you know, her maker. Went on to the afterlife, whether it exists or not.
This mugshot, though.
Another debate. That mugshot is something else.
I kind of feel like maybe it was all his idea.
Take a look at the mugshot in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Now, if you have not done this ever, if you've never, when we were talking about something, looked at the visual, great moment. This is a great moment to do so. So check that out. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Yeah. Tap the menu and look at See It Now.
I thought you said this was a Florida story.
That's what it said. It said Tampa. Is it not from Tampa?
Or was it? Did the Tampa station do the story?
It may be, because it says Tampa WFLA. That's the TV/radio station over there.
And does it say a Minnesota man has been arrested?
Mine doesn't say Minnesota.
I see a
man. It says Searles, Minnesota, the Mankato Free Press. Damn it. So that was, I didn't steal anything from you then. All right, I feel better about this.
Even Steven.
I feel better that I did not steal a story for This Week in Florida. So I get
Man,
to have that.
I was
that.
Just supposed to call you out for being wrong, and I made you feel better. That was a backfire of epic proportion.
I like where it ended up.
Not very fair for Florida, though, because this is now going around like, ugh, typical Florida. Only in Florida.
Typical what, Minnesota?
Typical Searles, Minnesota.
They don't know how to handle this.
Searles.
Yeah, they don't know how to handle a story like this like we do here in Florida. Speaking of Florida, I've told you guys, Sabrina and C-Lane, I've told the two of you about dangers that you face on the way to work. Mm-hmm. Let's go back through this. I think we had, there were some red-tailed hawks that were attacking people outside of a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. You got to beware. There's some people who got all bloodied and beat up by those things. There was it an otter?
Yes.
An otter was attacking some people.
There was an evil squirrel at some point last year.
Yeah, that's right. A giant evil squirrel that was getting after people. you got to be careful. The animal versus human war is on, and you can ignore it as long as you'd like. But I continue to provide story after story to show you that the animals are turning on us. And you got to be alert and aware. And now they're saying you got to watch out for coyotes or coyotes. Oh. This woman was attacked viciously by a coyote. And she was just gardening in her front yard. And the thing attacked her and pounced on her, she said. And it just kept like clamping down on her leg.
I saw this story this morning. One of the most nonchalant, graphic, and horrific CCTV footage that they just kept looping.
Oh, the video of the attack? Oh,
because it was a couple, there was like two cases. This woman had been attacked, and then they go into detail about how her husband was able to get the coyote off, and then they showed a picture of the dead coyote.
The husband killed the coyote.
Oh, yeah. And described how he choked the coyote out. And then they show CCTV footage of a guy who is also being attacked, but he is able to, I don't know, get away from it by field goal kicking the coyote to death. And then they loop that over and over again.
You got to have the good footage in the background.
My God.
You got to be aware. They're saying now in Florida, 60 days, there's an alert out there. Be careful. There are coyotes on the attack. It's part of this whole animals versus humans war. There is a war. It's brewing. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, well, that's up to you. But I think this poor woman, Robin O'Donnell, would tell you, yep, it's real. Let's listen to what happened here.
Well, Matt, health officials tell me that a raccoon that tested positive for rabies attacked two people. Tonight, we spoke with a woman who said she was outside. She was simply doing her yard work when she was caught off guard when a coyote grabbed onto her leg.
Raccoons,
before I could
coyotes.
Move, this thing pounced on me.
Robin O'Donnell says she had her back facing towards these woods on Saturday afternoon when her husband, inside the home at the time, saw the coyote approaching.
I said, Robin, watch out for the boom. As soon as I said that, she got bit.
Boom. O'Donnell says for about 30 seconds, several people nearby attempted to pry the coyote's jaw off of her leg.
It just kept clamping down on my thigh.
What do you do? Are you supposed to spray water on him or something? You kick him?
I don't know. That guy just like serial killer choked it out. And then, I don't know. They don't have it in this story that you're playing. But this morning I heard, and then they were able to defuse the situation by beating it with a mallet.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you choke it out, and then you get the mallet
out. O'Donnell shared this picture showing two puncture wounds on her leg. She says she received shots on Saturday and will still need more in the future. The O'Donnell's taking this picture of the coyote shortly after the attack.
It's not the most pleasant thing. The shots are painful, but not as painful as getting rabies.
Florida Fish and Wildlife says a single coyote bit two people on Saturday within 100 yards of each other.
Jesus.
The coyote's carcass testing positive for rabies.
O'Donnell
says
they use
she's
as
concerned
an excuse.
More infected animals could be lurking in these woods near her home.
The real sad part is that now I don't want to go outside.
Aww.
I feel
and
like
the fact that you murdered
that's been taken
coyote.
Away from me, and nobody can assure me that that's not going to happen again.
She's very scared after the coyote attack. They're going to blame it on rabies. That's the scapegoat. That's what they use in these situations.
Blame it on rabies.
It's something a little more nefarious here. The animals are just raging against us. Let's go over to the dispatches from the News Junkie app. Here is the sombrero guy with a dispatch.
What's going on, junkies? Happy Friday Eve. I'm coming to you live from D-Land, Florida, a.k.a. Hell 2. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, pretty much lives up to the name. Anyways, y'all have a great one. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Good luck over there. Here is D-Mac.
Hey, junkies, Mac 10 here.
Hey.
Hey, I sent a message like this earlier. I'm not sure
Mac
if you
10.
Got it. But is it me or is Satan and Sabrona brother? They sound quite a bit alike.
Whoa.
Sabrona.
What are you doing, man? They just sound nothing alike. Those are totally different characters and people. And they...
What's up, bros?
Oh, boy.
Damn, it's been a while. Why don't you answer my text?
It's like Beetlejuice. I didn't see anybody. No text.
I'd sent one, yeah.
Oh.
And I FaceTimed. Remember?
Oh, well, I'm not FaceTiming right now after hearing about that Apple bug where they can eavesdrop.
That's how I knew that you were ignoring me.
Oh, you started listening into my phone? That's a privacy violation, actually.
In privacy schmivacy. How are y'all doing? I mean,
good,
like,
good.
What a dick for that guy to call me Satan.
Yeah, he thinks you sound similar to somebody else who appears on the show.
Well, that's... That's not right, bros. Because does Satan get as much breasts as I do?
I don't know. Do people talk about getting breasts
all day?
I'm gonna hear girls talk about it, like when they want to get, you know,
I got some breasts last
enhancements.
Night.
They're like, you know, I'm gonna get breasts.
But I got a whole face full of boobs.
Yeah,
on the daily. I eat breastuses for breakfast.
That's an interesting way to start your day.
Yes, it is. That with a protein shake, because of course I gotta go to the gym.
Uh-huh. Is that where you've been? Just hold up at the gym?
I don't know. Do you see my muscles?
They look the same to me.
Are you being a dick?
I'm just, I don't see any noticeable difference. I didn't know you were doing like a whole New Year's resolution.
Want to arm wrestle then, bro?
I don't know if we need to bring it to that level. I don't know that we need to do that.
Do you guys have sex lately?
What, me and C-Lane?
Not with each other. I mean, that's
cool. Oh, yeah, just in general? Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. How was yours?
It was good.
Yeah.
I had all 2 minutes of it.
Oh, we only lasted 2 minutes?
I don't got time for making
Sabrina
love.
Sabrina's a two-pump chump?
I'm no chump. She was done after a minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was all boobs.
Laying it down. They're totally different people. They got completely different passes to come into the iHeartMedia building.
Yeah.
Satan, I don't even think Satan and Sabrina have ever crossed paths.
I thought we tried to get Sabrina's pass deactivated.
It wasn't me.
Are you serious? What did I do to you guys?
Damn. You talked to C-Late about that. I had nothing to do.
He's just jealous because I banged his ex.
Not even the first person to say that on the radio.
I know. Honestly, I didn't, but I just was remembering that last guy that did it. Who I confronted in person, by the way.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Oh, I gotta go.
All right.
Yeah, my girl's hitting me up.
See you later.
I'm gonna go bang in your parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Right on your Genesis.
Hey, watch out. Watch out for the coyotes out there, okay? Gotta be, be real, real careful. We're back in just a moment. It's the news, Junkie.
Yeah, no,
we cannot
it's real
it
radio, there you go.
And
we're
gonna
make
you lose your mind.
Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Oh, this is not surprising news to me. I don't think it will be for anybody. But I like that they did a study about this. And it's in the New York Times today. I'll just blow through this real quick. The world's most common digital habit is not easy to break, even in a fit of moral outrage over the privacy risks and political divisions Facebook has created, or amid concerns about how the habit might affect emotional health. And mind you, this is not just for Facebook, it's for any social media platform you could think of, where you go, is this good or is this a bad digital habit? So they said that 4 in 10 Facebook users claim they've taken long breaks from it. But the platform keeps growing. In fact, I just saw something yesterday from them. Facebook made insane money in the fourth quarter. I forgot the number. $6.8 billion or something. Unbelievable money in the fourth quarter of 2018. So they're doing okay. They're flat in the U.S. They're flat in Canada. They probably won't get too many new accounts there. But internationally, they grow and grow and grow. And billions of people check into Facebook every day. So they did a study by the researchers at Stanford University and New York University, and they have said that of all the people who did this, the vast majority, who they paid, by the way, to get off Facebook, they paid them, were happier afterwards and found more in common with the people around them. They said the average user would have to be paid $1,000 to $2,000, according to the study, to be pried away. $1,000 to get off of Facebook for the year?
I'll take that.
I'll do that in a second. But they're saying,
a year?
Yeah, they're saying expect the consequences to be fairly immediate. More in-person time with your friends and family, less political knowledge, but also less partisan fever, a small bump in one's daily moods and life satisfaction, and an extra hour of downtime to get stuff done. So
okay, but that's for the one person who's getting $1,000 for it. Doesn't mean the family and friends you want to connect with aren't off Facebook.
Yeah, if you are getting the money, it probably makes the excitement easier. The happiness goes up.
$1,000 for a year.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
And somebody said, see, Len, you could stay on Instagram. You could stay on Twitter or wherever else you're playing around in one of the digital sandboxes.
Yes, it is.
But not on Facebook. If you stay off of Facebook, it'll give you $2,000.
I mean,
$2,000 ain't bad.
That's a long time.
You can't do that? $2,000. You could probably just sneak around it, have somebody else check your Facebook for you.
Probably.
Report back afterwards if they wanted to. And our mother of the day has arrived.
Mother of the day.
This woman from South Carolina. And she decided to, speaking of social media,
Facebook,
post this.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this?
On her Facebook profile. Because, you know, this is what we do. When we do really stupid stuff, hey, let's take it and let's post it on our social media profiles. What's the worst that could happen there? The mother posted a video showing her dumping water on her sleeping 9-month-old child's face.
Oh, my God.
Like almost kind of a impromptu waterboarding of the 9-month-old kid. And when she does this, she posts it online. It says, payback for waking me up all kind of times of the night. This is what she thought would be good to share online. Caitlin Elsie Elise Hardy, 33 years old. More details here.
Deputies in Sumter County said that a woman has been charged with cruelty to children after disturbing images on social media. Deputies say that Caitlin Hardy posted a video on Facebook where she poured a bottle of water on a sleeping 9-month-old
good
infant
God.
Girl. Police say the video shows Hardy pour that water on the infant a second time when the child woke up coughing.
Yeah, why it's not? Terrible. The kid's coughing, choking on the water. This is for waking me up all kind of times of the night, she posts right along with it. And thankfully, they tracked her down and arrested her for doing this. These people, I'm just most amazed at the fact that, number one, there's so many terrible parents out there. And I mean, like, really, really bad parents, like people who shouldn't have kids. It's so easy to do.
They shouldn't even be around children.
Yeah, I mean, somebody like that, like you don't understand that it's a 9-month-old child and you're so selfish that you're like, this stupid little baby is keeping me awake at all times of the night.
Payback, bitch.
Let me grab this water bottle and just pour it all over the baby's face. And while it's choking, I'll pour a little bit more. So hence the mother of the day title. Let's go into these dispatches and see what's happening where you are. You sent them in through the News Junkie app. And hey, if you've never sent in a dispatch, make today the day you do it, okay? I want to hear from some new folks, some lurkers out there, first-timers jumping into the fray. Here is Jose with a dispatch.
Hey, News Junkies. Got a little situation in my hands. Accidentally, this morning when I was half asleep, called my girlfriend on a girl's name, and now she's really pissed off at me.
I don't blame her.
What should I do? And like, what type of gift should I get her to show that I'm sorry? Let me know. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Jose, you got a lot of work ahead of you,
yeah.
I think.
Start with flowers.
Here's the thing I would think you could do. If you ever find yourself doing that, like you're sleeping next to your significant other, and you kind of wake yourself up and you realize you're saying somebody else's name, just keep your eyes closed and turn the story into something that works better for you. Like, if you're waking up and you're saying, you know, Samantha, get away from me. I'm a happy man. I'm in love, and I don't want anyone near me right now. You do that, you could fix it. But if you don't, buddy, you're in pretty deep, I think.
Yeah.
So good luck handling that. We'll go over to Scrotal Nectar with a dispatch.
Here we are, overlooking a large retention pond on a brisk winter day in central Florida.
Scrotal Attenborough.
As you can see, the inland puffers are conflict crazy, bringing up the diamonds for Snob Wasson and Snob Nectar's empire.
Yep.
Oh, a flock of birds has come in.
Oh,
the
nice.
Migratory patterns of these white birds are very confusing. This has been David Attenborough with the BBC. Mr. Wilson, play more Nancy Dispatches. I love them. They make the randos upset.
Yeah.
Doodles.
I don't know why that's having that effect. Thank you, though, David Attenborough / Scrotal Nectar / Scrotal Attenborough.
Here. I like Scrotal Attenborough.
Here's Coco Masturbator with a dispatch.
Okay.
Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane. Hey, yeah, if you got a coyote or a couple of dogs fighting or attacking you, you got another person standing around, they just got to shove their thumb up their BH.
Okay.
And they'll let go immediately.
How are you supposed to do that?
With your thumb?
There's a coyote attacking me. It's biting my leg right now. And it's going nuts. And the coyote, I'm reaching around the back of the coyote and thumbing it so that it lets go.
I would expect the coyote to turn around and start attacking me.
Yeah, like
don't know. I think that have you heard of a better suggestion up until this point? I will totally try that if I'm being attacked by a coyote.
The punt kick, that sounded like a good suggestion.
I'm going to default to, we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about if you walk up onto somebody and they're already being attacked by a coyote, then you're a little more free to do different things. I'm thinking if the coyote's attacking you, you're definitely not going to be able to do thumb, you know.
Yeah, you wherever. Would.
Are you going to be able to reach around a coyote?
They're not giant. They're not giant dogs. They're just really vicious and aggressive and strong.
And then when you do that, it's not going to latch onto your arm for doing that?
I don't know. I just heard this, and I'm telling you, if I get attacked by a coyote, I'm going to use my thumb.
My default is always the eyeballs. Every animal you hear, it's like, just start poking their eyeballs.
What if you gave it, like, a really great belly rub?
Yeah. You think you could like, turn things around?
Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, I'm attacking you because I haven't felt this sensation that a domestic dog would. And, you know, now I'm pleased and I'm going to leave you alone.
I would dismiss that were it not for the videos of people going and getting alligators and just, like, rubbing their bellies and taking this mean, crazy, angry alligator and turn it into a ball of love very, very quickly. So you might be able to win them over with love. I would probably just go for the default jab them in the eye as much as you possibly can. One more real quick. Here's Phillip.
Let's be real. If the coyotes and all the animals are waging a war on humans, it's probably because we deserve it. You know, we kind of keep destroying their homes and polluting and killing their food. And so once we kill all their food, we become food, and we kind of deserve it. Humans are kind of a-holes, just saying.
Yeah, but we're already this far in, Philip, so we've got to do something. And it's just, the thing is, it's a cold war. It's not too cold because there's actually violence going on. It's a lukewarm war that's happening right now.
That's much better name.
It's not totally officially declared, but I see it happening. The animals are rising up against us. When we come back, the next episode with Sabrina. Don't go anywhere. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Feeling chatty and abundant? And that is how I ended up with one testicle. 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Real Radio 104.1. Filling you in on the shocking details. Just try not to pass out. This is the News Junkie.
Next episode in just a moment. And get ready for live trivia. Great prizes this week. So you're going to want to be on the phones to play or on the app and beating C-Lane. Those are the only two options. Either on the phones playing along or playing along on the app. And make today the day you try it for the first time. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I've got the power.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next? Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Sorry, a little tickle in my throat.
Oh, I hate that.
And a little tickle to tell you guys that I made it.
Oh, you made it?
I made it. And remember, it was like when we were at
Austin Powers?
Was it? No, it was Mission Impossible.
Oh.
But my mission a couple weeks ago was to get nominated for Watermark's Wave of
Awards. Oh, yes!
I got nominated,
oh,
y'all.
Oh, congratulations!
Top three.
See, like, now, don't make me clap by myself, dick.
Thank you.
He's doing something else I asked him.
Well, it's time for you guys to both clap for me.
Yeah!
But also, now you have to go back and vote like for the final ones. So I'm top three. I'll post it on my Facebook, at Sabrina Ambra. Vote. Let me get one plaque.
Who's the competition? Do you know?
The competition is Moira.
Okay.
And then a very nice man that works for, I believe, WPRK.
Okay.
He does the big
WPRK.
He does a gay radio show.
All right.
And,
a gay show.
It's a gay show. And I wish, I love both of them, and I'm honored to be nominated, but I want to kick their ass.
Stomp them into the ground.
So let's do it. And if I can do it and he can do it, I don't know how to segue. This guy right here, 43 years ago, he launched a short-lived country music career.
Conway Twitty.
Surprisingly, not somebody who was involved in music at all.
It sounds like Kanye Twitty.
Kanye Twitty?
I'm so lonesome I could cry. It reached number 17 on the country charts.
Oh, but it's not a country singer.
Yeah,
it's an actor, isn't it?
He's been in movies before. However, his main role was more on the field.
Oh, a football player?
Yep. He might be the uncle of someone we work with.
The uncle of someone we work with. I'm really drawing a blank.
He was recently on The Masked Singer. He was one with the deer mask.
Yeah.
It rhymes with Carrie Snashaw.
Carrie Bradshaw. No.
Carrie Bradshaw. And I was saying yes. Who's Carrie Bradshaw?
From Sex and the City, isn't it?
Terry Bradshaw is a country singer.
I didn't know that at all.
Yes, he looked very good and young, still the receding hairline 43 years ago. And he released this song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And then there was another one called Jambalaya. Yeah.
Which Jambalaya.
Really, so he nice. Just did Hank Williams covers then.
I guess, was this a Hank Williams cover?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, he did.
Obviously.
And he did a great job with that. A Utah man is suing Gwyneth Paltrow for running into him on a ski slope. He is suing for an unspecified amount, or in Gwenny terms, 200 jade vagina eggs.
Ooh, that's a bunch of them.
Yes. The NFL has announced that Maroon 5 canceled a news conference to discuss their Super Bowl performance. And instead, the band will, and I quote, let their show do the talking, whatever that means.
All right. Let's see.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I'm the show, Maroon 5 show.
Okay.
And I've been given the honor of letting you all know what the Super Bowl performance is going to be like.
I'm excited about this. It's going to be big, I think.
Yep. Are you guys all excited?
Yeah, I'm. Oh, everybody is.
Just make this quick. It is going to suck.
Oh, why?
No further questions.
Okay, that's it.
Now, as we move on, a bit of an update on a story we talked about yesterday. This gal right here, Butthole Eyes.
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande is correct. Now, she got a tattoo that was supposed to be 7 rings.
Uh-huh.
Based on her new single. It was inked in Japanese, and then after posting a picture, everybody quickly pointed out, if they spoke the Japanese language, that she actually got a tattoo that read barbecue grill.
That's not good.
Do you know what your tattoo says, Sean?
Yes.
What does
it say?
Oh,
did you get it? Did you get the answer?
Well, I always knew. I always knew what it meant.
Oh, what do you think it means?
It means luck.
It means luck?
Yeah, that's what I've always said.
It's like joy, congratulations, good luck.
Why are you saying it like that?
I was disappointed. I wanted it to be...
I mean, we still have to compare. We still have to double check.
No. I don't think we need to do that.
Well, listen, if Ariana's going to be transparent, I think you should too. In an attempt to be transparent, that is, Grande later posted a screenshot of text messages from her Japanese tutor on Instagram. Her tutor said that she could change the meaning of her tattoo by adding the character for finger around the characters she's already gotten.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, instead, she had the character for finger and a small heart symbol added directly beneath her tat. So if read vertically and right to left, as one would if they're reading Japanese, the tattoo now says barbecue grill finger.
Okay. All right. So she doesn't sound like she improved on this.
She did not. And she just keeps posting and then deleting because she just, third time's a charm, Ariana. Third time's a charm. Fortunately, it's on her palm, so that should go away.
Yeah.
Eventually. Apparently, this guy's not going away. The director of this.
Is this the Queen movie?
What?
I called it the Queen movie.
I heard Bohemian Rhapsody because you both said it at the same time. Whatever that may be.
He was
but
closer.
Both of you are right. And director Bryan Singer, he was fired, but he's still set to earn tens of millions of dollars.
That's nuts.
Off the massive success despite being fired. Now, thanks to a track record of years of hit making and then hitting on young boys, what is said to be a strong back-end provision in his deal, his final payday for the Freddie Mercury biopic is expected to exceed. Do you want to give it a
I've seen this, so I'm going to bow out gracefully. I know C-Lane doesn't look at stories until we talk about him, so he probably doesn't know.
$22 million.
$40 million.
Damn. How much of the movie did he do? Does anybody know?
I'm not completely sure. Now, he was the studio that co-financed released the movie. They're exploring its legal options. I think he was there at least for the beginning, but it wasn't. Oh, I'm sorry. He was fired only 2 weeks of shooting left in the movie. So okay. He did like the majority of it.
All right. Okay.
But he got fired for not showing up to set. So how many weeks before that did he not show up?
Yeah, he's a giant pain in the ass and a predator, if you believe the tales they tell.
Well, they're hoping that maybe the back end would be forfeited if a director is fired for cause. He was indeed fired, but he retained credit, thus ensuring some of the contingent compensation, according to top deal makers. I mean, it made $800 million, so he's about to get something.
They said that GLAAD withdrew Bohemian Rhapsody's nomination for the GLAAD Media Award, like Outstanding Film Wide Release. Because of the allegation. Wouldn't that be unfair to the rest of the people that worked on the movie that didn't?
I think so.
I think so, too. Back in 2016.
We did that the other day.
Gwyneth, he might have not been here. Maybe it was when you were camping.
You could have been going to the bathroom or something.
Mentioned it earlier. Gwyneth was skiing at Deer Valley Resort back in 2016 when she allegedly plowed right into a 44-year-old man named Terry Sanderson.
All right.
And now he's suing her ass. He says that he was knocked out, suffered 4 broken ribs, and needed brain surgery. And what'd she do? Just kept on skiing. He said, sorry about that, and just kept on skiing.
He called it a hit and run, though. Is it a hit and run if you run into somebody while you're skiing and then you ski off?
It's a hit and ski.
Is that illegal? Or, I didn't know you were not allowed to do that.
According to local ordinance, a skier in the situation is required to stop and offer assistance. They also give their name and address to an employee. Gwyneth did neither. She just took off and took a ramp or something. She issued a statement saying, this lawsuit is completely without merit and we expect to be vindicated. And take that jade egg and stuff it somewhere else.
Right there.
Right there. MegaCon is happening. It's in March, and they have just announced something really exciting.
For the first time ever,
Back to the Future, and the entire cast will be coming to MegaCon.
Michael J. Fox, too?
Michael J. Fox will be joined by Christopher Lloyd, Lee Thompson, Tom Wilson, and James Tolkien. And if you pay like maybe $500, you could see a glimpse of them. I'm not completely sure.
That's a pretty big deal.
They're also going to have special Back to the Future packages, photo ops. MegaCon will also feature more stars, including David Harbour, who's in Stranger Things, mm-hmm. Jason Momoa.
Well, that's Aquaman.
Oh, that's my spank bank. Sean Austin from The Goonies, Pamela Anderson, and Mark Shepard from Supernatural. So that's very exciting.
Well, I know who's going to have the short line at that one.
Not us. Who?
Mark Shepard. Is Mark Shepard a name? Compared to everybody else, I was like, whoa.
Mark Shepard is from Supernatural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
Maybe. I don't know.
Aquaman will have a bigger line.
Sean Astin was also E in Entourage.
Was he?
Yeah, when he grew up.
When he growed up.
We all grossed up.
Well, then maybe that's something that people will talk to him about when he's there signing autographs.
All right.
There's a 23-year-old woman.
No, he wasn't. Wrong guy. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
You were on
a roll.
I have
12 more stories to go through, and I can't do any of them now. I mean, I had a great one about female drivers. I'm going to have a second next episode. Drake gave, he did a good deed.
What did he do?
He gave somebody, well, it was rumored, $20,000, but thanks to the sleuths of the media or the internet, we have now been corrected. He did a good deed during a McDonald's run. He gave two female employees $100 each.
Oh, that's a lot less.
Yeah. They claimed at one point that he gave them $10,000 each, which would have been amazing, but that wasn't the case. They each just got a C note. But Drake's been known to be with major wads of cash. Last year, he gave close to $1 million as part of his God's Plan video. But this one, not part of a video, so you just get $100. On the BoobTube, the Titan Games on NBC, Lip Sync Battle. Will and Grace returns to NBC. Watch What Happens Live. We'll have Christina Aguilera. And you can catch Ellen Page and Django Gold on Stephen Colbert. Have a great Thursday, my friends. And remember to
smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. Live trivia up next. Great prize is on the line. 407-916-1041. Toll free 1-888-978. 1041. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out for those prizes. And you're playing along in the News Junkie app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Brought to you by International Diamond Center.
From Real Radio. Real Radio.
Making up for a lack of formal education by purchasing the first and subsequent rounds. You're listening to the News Junkie.
You say you want it, but you can't get it in you. You got yourself a bad habit. You look at you, walking up and down the hall. I see you, please.
In C-Lane's defense, there was a reason why he didn't know that story. I just realized he said we talked about that when he was camping in the woods.
Yeah, I said that.
Did you? Oh, now I missed that part.
Did you say that when we were here?
Yeah, she did.
I was focused in. I didn't hear that. I was just really focused in on the part that C-Lane was flopping all over the place today.
So focused on shaming me.
If you don't catch the show, of course, you can get it on the podcast. But if not, we'll repeat what each other says at least 3 times.
I'm going to need to do that, I guess. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. Play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it. Search for the News Junkie in the App Store. And now, live trivia.
It is live trivia. I'm probably going to be bad at this because I'm clearly not paying attention to the show, but perhaps you are. And it's for a January 31st, Thursday, 2019. Jumble those around in the right way, and it'll sound normal to you.
Yeah.
Two callers head-to-head to battle it out. And you're playing along right now in the News Junkie app. Let's get those players. Let's try out Monty. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Monty's ready to go. We'll put you up against Daniel, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we got Daniel and Monty then ready to go. Hopefully they don't suck it up here and somebody does well. It'll start with question number one. A couple of school administrators in Michigan got creative and decided to use their dulcet tones to announce a snow day this week. What song did they parody in the viral video we played? Was it Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, Back That Ass Up by Juvenile, Hello by Adele, or Let It Go from Disney's Frozen? Monty.
Hello by Adele.
All right, Daniel.
Number one.
Okay, number two. A Daytona Beach man has been sentenced to 10 days in jail for attacking a blind and handicapped man. Well dressed as this, was the attacker dressed as a minion, a penguin, an onion, or Paul Bunyan? Go ahead, Daniel.
Number one.
Monty.
Number two.
We'll go into number three. To celebrate her newest single, Ariana Grande got a kanji hand tattoo.
That's Japanese writing.
Her followers were quick to point out a spelling mistake. What does her tattoo allegedly say? Does it say charcoal barbecue grill, meanie hair poet, apple of my butthole eyes, or propane noodle bird? Monty.
That's going to be the charcoal grill, number one.
Daniel.
Same thing.
We'll go to number four. Former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz was on Morning Joe to further elaborate on his proposed plan to run for president in 2020. So naturally, Mika Brzezinski asked him this. What question did they ask the former CEO of Starbucks? How much does a Toyota Camry cost? How much have you given to the homeless? How much does a box of Cheerios cost? Or why are double dirty chai lattes so damn expensive? Daniel.
Cheerios.
Monty.
The Cheerios.
You're in agreement on that. We'll move on to number five. Freezing temps around the Midwest caused an Illinois police department to take matters into their own hands. They announced the arrest of this person. Jon Snow, Elsa from Frozen, Jack Frost, or Frozone from The Incredibles? Monty.
That's going to be a Jack Frost.
All right, Daniel.
That's actually Elsa.
All right, so one of you is right, one of you is wrong. We'll figure it out. Number six, a pop-up bar in Australia has launched a controversial burger featuring a line of white garlic powder and a rolled-up fake $100 bill. What's the name of the pop-up bar? Is it called Beer and Sirloin in Los AU, Grill Zelda Bunko, Pablo Esco Burgers, or Good Flippas? Daniel.
Pablo.
And Monty.
Pablo.
On number seven, yesterday we learned Mariah Carey made sure her twins were born to the sound of an audience applauding her. It was all during a live performance of this song, Vision of Love. Always Be My Baby, Don't Forget About Afterbirth, or Fantasy. Monty.
Always Be My Baby.
Daniel.
I'll say same thing.
All right, we'll see if it pays off for you. We had Monty and Daniel face off through the questions and live trivia today. One of them is a winner. One of them is a loser. We're going to figure out which is which in just a moment. Nation's Trucks, they've got all the trucks you could ask for and then some. The best selection in all of Florida and beyond. Man, if you're in Anchorage, Alaska, and you're freezing your ass off and you need a new truck, get in the truck and start driving. Make your way all the way to Nation's Trucks, and it's worth it once you get here. That's how amazing their selection is. Don't pay the price that you get at dealerships with brand new vehicles. Get vehicles that feel like brand new, look like brand new, drive like brand new, but don't have that brand new price tag. Go to nationstrucks.com. The school administrators who got creative with their snow day song were singing this song.
It was Monty that said, "Hello" by Adele, more like, "Hell no." It was Daniel that said, "Hallelujah" by Leonard Cohen, and that was right.
On to number two, a man in Daytona Beach has been sentenced for attacking a blind and handicapped man dressed like this.
Monty said a penguin, but those aren't happy feet on you, they're wrong feet. It was Daniel that said a minion, and that answer, banana.
Daniel's doing much better than Monty so far. Let's see how this shapes up as we continue on. Number three, Ariana Grande's tattoo accidentally says this.
Both the players said charcoal, barbecue, grill, and thank you next.
On to number four, the CEO of Starbucks was asked this question.
Daniel and Monty both said, how much does a box of Cheerios cost? Enough for 2 points.
Too much should be the answer. Cheerios are the worst. Garbage. I got some heat for that. People were tweeting. They're like, what are you talking about? Cheerios are delicious.
Exactly. So you're trying to get away from Twitter, and yet you are causing controversy on Twitter.
I only see what people tweet at me, and then I move away. I go to post them. Nope. Get out of here. Whenever I get somebody who's messaged me, I take a look. Number five, freezing temps in the Midwest have led to the arrest of this person.
Monty said Jack Frost, and that answer was incorrect.
Come on, Monty.
Daniel said Elsa from Frozen, and that was right, that was right.
The burger place in Australia, what was the name of it?
It was both the players that said Pablo Esco Burgers, and that answer was right.
And number seven, the final question. When Mariah Carey was giving birth to her twins, there was music on in the background. It was a live performance of this song.
Monty and Daniel both said, Always Be My Baby.
Come on!
And that answer was wrong. Doing a lot of singing today, Sabrina. But the actual answer was Fantasy, but we do have a winner of live trivia, and that is Daniel!
All right! Yeah! Congratulations, Daniel. You are the winner of live trivia today. Hang on tight. We're going to get your information, hook you up with a great prize. What do we have today, C-Lane?
I have another pair of tickets to WJRR's Earth Day Birthday 26 at the Central Florida Fairgrounds Saturday, April 13th. featuring Godsmack, 3 Days Grace, Pop Evil, POD, and many, many more. Always a good time out there. You could save on your fees by buying the tickets here in person right at the studios. You can go up to the prize window. They'll be selling them there and save a little bit of money. Or keep playing live trivia. We might have something to give away tomorrow.
Let me tell you this, too. Not only is that a great show every year, and the folks at JRR do an awesome job kicking that off and putting together a great party, Rick and everybody involved, but every time I've gone, I have come back with an awesome story.
That's right.
Every time, there's like something that happens where you go, holy cow.
What are we lighting on fire this year?
Right. I'm sure management hopes nothing, but for the folks hanging out there, it's a party. It's a good time. What else do we have, C-Lane? I'm sorry.
I think Sabrina has tickets to the Renaissance Fair she's going to be at. Is that this weekend?
Yes, and you're thinking right. It is the final weekend of the Brevard Renaissance Fair. I'm going to be there Saturday night. I'm going to be hosting the concert, the Celtica Pipes, which are a good time. And, of course, there's going to be beer. It's going to be merry. And then we party in Melbourne.
Don't forget the most important never-been-done-before moment.
That's right. The 8-man joust.
8 men... jousting.
Only one will survive.
Are they all like going towards the center or something?
I have no idea because it's never been done before. So I feel like you'll only know if you're there.
At medieval times, it's like one team at a time, or like two people jousting at once.
Over at Wickham Park, very short drive. Of course, the passes we're giving away are valid for the entire weekend, so you could catch the greatest Renaissance Fair of all time.
All right, let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top spot with 2,720 points, Testicular Manslaughter has the lead, followed by the Dita, Ask Holio, Dr. Love's Cupcake, and Bluegill McGillicuddy are tied up. My Brother Can Suck It, Laser Blade, Punk and Drublick, Fancy Nancy drops to 9, and Username just in there at 10. The back five look like Hockey OSB, Vegas, Amy, Flash Dad, Micronaut, and Brains.
All right, thank you all for playing along. We do appreciate it. When we come back, you want to hear this. We've been talking all week about this missing attorney. Now, I've got some of the friends who have been reaching out. And if you haven't heard any of the story, don't worry. We'll recap everything and let you know what's going on. If you have, this is going to be an interesting conversation. So we'll see how that goes next and see if we can find out anything else to really shed light on what's happening with this attorney that's been missing since at least November, if not October. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie. 'Cause I can see everything.
I swear this story just keeps getting more and more bizarre. And you might have heard us talk about this this week. This mystery of a missing Orlando attorney that started to get some traction with a Reddit post. And the Reddit post had all this background information. I'm still not sure where half of that came from. And they told the story of a successful Orlando attorney by the name of Albert Buchalowski. And Albert Buchalowski had about 100 current clients, rather, and had everything going for him at his practice and seemed like all was well, and then just disappeared. Disappeared, like just overnight, bam, disappeared. None of his friends have any clue where he is. Nobody knows, nobody's talked to him or seen anything since November or maybe even October, depending on some of the stuff you look at. So we reached out to OPD. They were pretty cagey about things. Finally got some actual documents that we talked about yesterday on the show. But the answers are not there. We have not really gotten a solid answer as to what the hell's going on with this missing attorney. And the most concerning thing, number one, is that this guy was responding via text message. And a lot of people say, all right, you know, look, it's fine. We're getting this text back. But folks who were friends who were texting and getting responses, many of them said it didn't seem like it was Albert. So continue to try to figure out what the hell is happening in this case and what's going on here. And I see more and more and more of his friends and people who were familiar with Albert Buchalowski reaching out and saying, hey, does anybody know what's going on here? Very, very confused. One of them is going to join us here. Peter, are you there?
Yes, Peter Carenti here.
Peter, I appreciate you taking some time here. I had seen your post amongst a bunch of others because there's a lot of people exactly like you who knew Albert, and they're just like you, absolutely frustrated and confused. How did you find out something was wrong here to begin with?
Well, quite frankly, Albert and I worked together as colleagues. I last spoke to Albert at the beginning or mid-November. He had contacted me and told me that he had a family emergency. He had to go up to New York, and he asked me to cover some hearings for him. We do that every week, and we have for the last couple of years. So I took care of the work for him, and it's no problem. Then we went on Christmas break. And then I come back in January, and I'm standing in front of his office, and I decide it's time for me to give him a call. And when I do, his telephone's disconnected.
Yeah. And when you talked to him in November, was that an actual phone call or text messages?
It was both. Okay. It was both. I talked to him on the phone. He texted me, asked me if I could cover some hearings for him, and then I needed some more information, so we spoke by the telephone.
So
he sounded very agitated. He didn't give me any details, but he told me he had a family emergency.
All right, he said something has gone wrong. He's going to New York, but by all impressions, you thought, hey, he's going to fix whatever this is and come back, and then we'll continue what we got going on here.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I told him, anything you need, brother, anything I can do while you're dealing with your family emergency, just let me know. And he said he would do that. And then I didn't hear from him again. And the court system pretty much shuts down November 15th.
Yeah.
People start going away on turkey break and all of that. So it wasn't unusual for me not to hear from him over Christmas. But when I started asking my colleagues, have you heard from Albert? And everybody started saying, no, that's not Albert. Albert's one of the most responsible attorneys I've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, as an attorney, Peter, to just abandon your practice and leave like 100 clients in the lurch, that's really, I mean, that's strange behavior for anybody, much less somebody who is very professional would never do something like that.
Extremely strange, especially for Albert. Albert's very involved with his clients. He's very involved with the police. He's on a softball team with police, judges, and state attorneys.
Yeah, all right. So,
and he's a criminal defense attorney himself.
So as far as you know, he was okay in November. You haven't heard absolutely. It's been radio silence since that point.
Correct.
What have the other friends of Albert who, I mean, I know you've seen some of the things that I have. That's what kicked this whole thing off.
Yes,
what are other people that you're talking to saying?
Well, I've spoken to people that work in his building, other attorneys.
All right.
And they have some very important things that the police should listen to.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention any specifics because I don't know if they're true or not. But they did mention that there was a very suspicious character that was giving Albert a hard time.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if OPD is aware of this.
I don't know that they are. This is one of the things. It's a very, very confusing story in terms of just the radio silence that we're getting and the way that OPD handles things. I sent you some of the documents. I don't know if you were able to take a look at that.
I have not received them, so I don't know any statements by OPD.
Okay.
I'm hoping there's at least a detective that's looking into something.
Yeah, they have said that they first started with some text messages in November, and then they said, and this was in November. I think this was actually before.
It was Tuesday, November 6th.
So November 6th, you talked to him after that then, Peter.
Yeah, I believe so. Huh. I can't give you an exact, if I search and hunch, I can find out which cases I handled for him. And we always communicated that same day to notify each other how the disposition of the cases went.
So a friend had actually reported him as a missing person prior to that. And I think it was on like the 5th or 6th that the police said they were text messaging back and forth, and we were trying to just get a real straight answer, like, did somebody see him in person and make sure he's okay? If you talk to him after that, it seems pretty likely that Albert was okay at that time, but now nobody's heard anything for months and months. And I had heard something like you're saying, and look, there was some suggestions that perhaps there were some people that were not getting along well with him, and then even some suggestions that there was somebody who was caught in his office after dark that shouldn't have been there. There's a lot going around, but nobody seems to have a solid answer about what's going on here. Do you know anything? Because I'm so blown away, Peter, that Albert's ex-wife hasn't said anything about any of this. You know anything about that?
I don't know. We're friends on Facebook, of course, but he went silent a little while ago. I have not heard from any of his friends or his family. I've heard from his colleagues. I've heard from a couple of judges, a lot of attorneys that we deal with Albert on a daily basis in three or four different counties. Not one person has heard from him. Not one person knows where he is. And all of these people, their job is to analyze situations just like this very quickly and come to reasoned, rational consensus.
Sure.
That's what judges do.
Yeah.
And every judge that I've talked to that has a case with Albert or is friends with Albert, every single judge I've talked to has not heard a word. They're very surprised that Orlando Police Department isn't taking a more active, proactive role in this. And quite frankly, so am I.
Yeah, I am too.
Three children that I know he loved and saw on a regular basis, and I know he wouldn't abandon them.
Do you know how old the kids are, Peter?
I don't. Unfortunately, I am not. My relationship with Albert is professional.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
But are they younger? Do you know if they're younger or older, or you don't know at all?
I know they're younger. Albert's not an old guy.
Okay.
Okay. I'm an old guy. I'm in my late 50s. Albert's about 20 years younger than me.
Oh, you're a spring chicken, Peter. Come on now.
This is what my concern is, and this is really what I want. Just from the couple of days that I've posted this on Facebook and asked for my colleagues to give me some input, I've been getting contact from my colleagues every single day. Each one of them is giving their little piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
But there is not one central figure to take all of this information down and research it. Has anybody looked for his car?
Well, that's another thing. I spoke to somebody who actually, I guess Albert was driving this person's car. And I said, hey, have you heard from Albert Puchalowski? And he said, no, I haven't. I'm concerned about him. Nobody seems to be worried about this. And also, by the way, he has my car. So he's stolen my car at the very least.
That is not Albert.
Yeah, yeah.
Albert would never do that. What I'm really concerned about here is why aren't the authorities more interested in finding him? It seems like they're trying to say, well, maybe we shouldn't bother the man.
Well, it seems like they're under the impression that he is alive, and that's when they concluded everything. Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to believe that.
And which is bizarre, too, especially considering you spoke to him just a couple days after they would have concluded that investigation.
Yeah.
Now, I know that your relationship with him was on a professional basis, but
correct.
Were you familiar with where he lived, and did
no.
anyone kind of like give a wellness check, or you know anybody who would have gone over
no.
there?
No, I have not. I only know what I read in your little synopsis there, Sean. But what I can tell you is that he spent more time at his office than he spent at his home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to his office manager. I've talked to the other tenants in his building. His office is right behind the courthouse. Okay?
Yeah.
And it has now since been taken over by another attorney. Albert, just so you know, Albert covered cases for three or four other major law firms in this town.
Uh-huh.
He would not just abandon that.
Did Albert cover any cases that would maybe put him in danger or put him
no.
in a position where he would have to go away and hide or something?
Not while he was an attorney here in Orlando. Now, Albert had a past. You know, he had a military occupation mm-hmm. before he became an attorney. I have no idea if that is somehow involved. He's an ex-ranger. But he's probably one of the most straight-laces attorneys I know. And he doesn't handle high-profile rape or murder or biker cases. He handles minor traffic things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very concerned about what I've been told by his office manager about the people that have been hanging around his building.
Now, this person that they're talking about, is this just some random person that was being aggressive towards him or something?
Yes, it seems like it might have been somebody that he was doing some work with
mm-hmm.
or for. But like I said, I'm not a police officer. Okay, there's no reason why LPD should not be actively looking for this,
yeah.
looking through this. There's no reason at all. It wouldn't take just a couple of minutes of their time to find out if he's been spotted in any other locales throughout the state or throughout the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
Some chick of NCIC would pull that up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that concern me, and I know a lot of the friends of Albert are concerned. Like the things that I hear where they said that they scanned the license plate of this car he had and found zero hits, you know, on any of the license plate scanning equipment. And just the completely off the radar nature of all this stuff. It's all very, very odd.
I would think that the Orlando Police Department would be more interested in locating where he is just to quiet everybody else down.
Yeah.
They have the resources. Maybe they're just not interested in finding out. Maybe we need to talk to the Orange County Sheriff.
Yeah,
I'm going to look into that myself.
Well, stay in touch, Peter, and we'll share anything that we hear about this.
This is what I would like. If anybody gets any information whatsoever, contact the radio station. This is 104.1, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Contact the radio station. Give any information you have about Albert. If you know where he is and he took off and he just decided to abandon his life, we need to know that too.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's one of the big problems here. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate all the information. We'll relay anything we hear right back to you. One of the problems is all these friends are like, just somebody give me the heads up so I know that he's okay.
Yeah.
Even if he wants to ghost me, I just want to know that he's alive.
I just think that there is a really big piece of the puzzle that we're missing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I kind of feel like we're missing it on purpose. Like, we're not supposed to know that information.
Well, the friends of this guy are unbelievably concerned.
What if he's CIA or something?
I mean, look, that could be a thing. I don't know. But if this is the case, somebody close to this should reach out, get the message to the people who care, and let them know. And you've got things like stolen vehicles now involved in this. So there's other levels of this. What was interesting about that is the missing persons report was filed early on, and they found him, and they talked to him or said they confirmed he was alive at the beginning of November. He talked to him after that, maybe in the middle of November, and then nobody has seen him, talked to him, checked on him, anything after that. I mean, that... this is an interesting song choice.
Wow.
What? Oh, where can Albert be?
Well,
name of my podcast.
You know what? Songs are catchy and spreads where it's like Runaway Train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the version of Runaway Train focused on this.
Those guys are in town tonight.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep following this. I think it's really wild that this whole thing has played out as it was or as it has. Email me, tips@thenewsjunkie.com, as many others have. You can stay anonymous. In fact, I got an email. Let me see. Maybe I should get to that real quick. We were going to go to break with the song. It was all perfect. It was handled.
Thanks a lot, man. I'm just trying to do my job.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But I figure we'll just get this all in one segment here so it's all pieced together and where it needs to be, because I had an anonymous email that came in about Albert as well. Here it is right here. This person says, Albert was my neighbor where I live. Super nice and genuine guy. He played hockey with the Orlando Enforcers, the OPD, Orange County Police hockey team. My understanding is that he was part of their network of lawyers for when cops need representation. He suffered a back injury and stopped playing, and I hardly ever saw him after that. My neighborhood's full of nosy people who want to know everything about everyone, and they knew Albert well. My understanding was that he sold his law firm and told his landlord to clear out his unit that he would not be back. Everybody in the community is also confused and worried about him. The landlord and Albert were good friends, and his responses when I ask about Albert have been either very cagey or he doesn't know any specific details. And he says, I really hope he's okay. So many people are worried. All right, so that's where we are on this. When we come back, we'll get into jury duty and the most frightening video I've seen all year. Details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Yo, Radio.
104.1. Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Jury duty. And in just a moment, man, this is freaky as hell. The future is so dark, I swear. I saw this video today, and I said, at first when I heard about these deep fake videos, I thought there was not too much concern on my part, and like, this is not going to become a part of our lives, and we're not going to sit in some world where you see a video of yourself and you're like, all right, I know that's a video of me, but that's not me. That was done by a computer. Until I saw this deep fake Jennifer Buscemi video.
It is glorious.
Man, it's pretty convincing, is it not?
It's very convincing, but I was like oddly comforted by the video. I'm like, I would totally watch a movie with Jennifer Buscemi.
They took, who's the Jennifer? I couldn't figure it out.
Jennifer Lawrence.
They took Jennifer Lawrence giving some speech at an award show. And
expected Amy to win.
They, so, oh yeah, that's obviously her.
I just like,
and they put it was just, over I, her face Steve Buscemi's face with this deep fake face technology, and yeah, she moves around and she angles and she looks, and it is perfect.
It is really good, and it's interesting. Everyone's freaking out over the face swap stuff, which I can completely understand, but. If they're just using it for this kind of fun stuff,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah, this is the beginning, and then all of a sudden they do some nefarious stuff, and you go, but there's the video. You know, that used to be our default position. We'd go, all right, yeah, show me the video, and I'll believe that. And now you look at this, and you go, damn, it looks like they can make it. Photoshop was scary for a while, and you look at something, you go, I think that's Photoshopped, and some people have a keen eye for it. I think this will be beyond that. I do. I think you'll see videos of people doing stuff, and you go, oh, my God. Like, they've started with putting people in porns and stuff, and it's wild. Take a look at this. It's up on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app.
The video's viral spread now has numerous U.S. lawmakers sounding the alarm over the potential of deepfakes to disrupt the 2020 election.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and imagine in politicians in particular. They're like, what if somebody tries to blackmail me with a video it's not me and everybody would believe it was me?
Well, as of right now, there are methods of detecting deep fakes.
Like you put it in some sort of software?
It's actually just like a technique that you can utilize.
Okay.
It's researchers, they say one technique, which is said to have a 95% success rate in catching the altered videos, is analyzing how often an individual in a video blinks.
Ah.
Healthy adult humans blink somewhere between every 2 and 10 seconds, and a single blink takes between 1/10 and 4/10 of a second. This is from an associate professor of computer science from the University of Albany. Said that's what would be normal to see in a video of a person talking, but that's not what happens in many deep fake videos.
They're just locked open with the eyes.
That, or it's just like a slower blink, or kind of looks unnatural, man. Maybe not as often, but
they'll fix that,
yeah,
too.
That's going to be an easy
in a short time. All of a sudden, they got the blink package and they got that fixed. I need Captain Disillusion on my side. He's the only one that will be able to prove it's not me when the embarrassing video comes out. So I'm going to have to reach out and contact the YouTuber Captain Disillusion. He's the person who could keep us safe in these trying times. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. The phone number, 1-800-DeWitt-Law, 1-800-DeWitt-Law. And make sure that if you're in an accident, if you're in a motorcycle accident, I mean, or you know somebody who drives a motorcycle, it's a lot of damage done to your body physically, generally, when that happens. And you need to make sure you have the right representation when you go up against the insurance companies. Do you think your time is valuable? Yeah, well, you probably want an attorney that's going to think the same thing. Not just the person you see on TV or on every billboard you drive by that you'll never actually meet, but Moses DeWitt, the guy you hear on the show, the guy who fights these people all the time and wins. And if you've been in a motorcycle accident or a car accident, go for it. 1-800-DeWitt-Law or ask at DeWittLaw.com. This is a crazy story down in Pembroke Pines in South Florida.
Oh, this week in Florida.
They had a sinkhole. And so
I saw this. This is nuts.
A sinkhole in Florida, it's like, big deal. Is that even news? Every city in Florida has to deal with sinkholes. We're like on a bunch of water here. And the FBI isn't usually involved in sinkhole investigations, but they are in this case because they went out there, officials did, and they said, this sinkhole looks different than other ones we've seen. When they found out that it wasn't a sinkhole at all, but a tunnel.
Oh.
And the tunnel was going into a bank branch. They found an entrance hole in a nearby wooded area that contained a small electric generator and some cords. The tunnel went under the road into the bank. It ran about 50 yards.
Wait. Through the woods, under the road,
uh-huh,
and to the bank they went.
That's where they were trying to go. A cadaver dog determined there were no bodies inside the tunnel. They weren't sure how long it had been there. No robbery at the bank, but somebody was clearly planning on tunneling to the bank, breaking in, and robbing the place. And the only way they found out that this existed was because somebody thought it was a sinkhole. They looked into it. Just weird, weird stuff.
I mean, I'd rather a tunnel than assault rifles.
What do you mean?
As far as a bank robbery?
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
If someone robs a bank, it's usually with weapons.
Yeah. I'd rather a tunnel. Then I thought you said rather a tunnel with assault rifles.
That would be fun.
That sounds incredibly dangerous. I don't know if that should be a thing.
The mission, if you choose to accept it, is dodge assault rifle bullets and then get money on that tunnel.
I'm not going to be good at that at all. A teacher, it's not another day on the show unless we have a story like this. A teacher resigns after allegedly sending nudes to a student. A young high school teacher in the United States has been charged. Her name is Kelsey Schmidt, 24 years old, was a math teacher at Beulah High School in North Dakota. She sent a 17-year-old pupil nude selfies over Snapchat and invited him to play a game of naked hide-and-seek. I think you know what she had in mind. She was arrested and charged with felony luring minors by computer or other means. The student received 3 or 4 naked photos from Ms. Schmidt in August and September of last year.
How old did you say she was?
She is 24 years old.
As one of these stories says she's 22.
This says Kelsey Schmidt, 24 years old.
I'm seeing 27.
According to the police, the student received 3 or 4 naked photos, one showing the teacher from her waist up with her breasts partially covered by her hair. And the affidavit alleged the student told the police officer he could get the math teacher in trouble for pictures she had sent him. And then they looked at the X-rated photos. Another day, another teacher with a student and nude photos. Hey, everybody. You thought he was going away, but he's not. Wide-neck man has been arrested again.
Oh, no.
Come on.
The dude with that big-ass wide neck. I'm just completely destroying this week in Florida. Charles Dion McDowell, 31, had his bond revoked relating to charges of fleeing and eluding police, possession of meth and cocaine and other drug offenses, and that big-ass neck is still
hanging. Did you see his mugshot?
Which why? I see both of them here.
His neck is, like, bigger, is it not?
Maybe he's trying to get it bigger because he got fame with the big neck. The one where he's wearing the white shirt, is that the older one or is that the newer one?
I think it's the older one.
Yeah, because the other one where he's wearing just a regular T-shirt, the collar just is breaking under the strength of the neck that is underneath it. Maybe it's getting more and more pronounced, but he's back in jail and not doing well. I mean, getting fame with a big neck thing, but not doing well otherwise. And finally, in jury duty today, the youngest member of the murderous Manson family has again been recommended for parole. This is Leslie Van Houten, or Houten, or Houten, the youngest of Charles Manson's murderous family of followers. Released early from life prison term, she's serving a life prison term for this 1969 killing spree. But they say this still rests with the California governor, Gavin Newsom. The predecessor twice denied the board's recommendation that she be set free. So they're saying once again, we think she should be set free, and we'll see if the governor allows a Manson follower back into public. When we come back, the update on this big mystery story about Jussie Smollett, the actor from Empire. What's the latest information? What do we know now? That's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Brought to you by International Diamond Center.
From Real Radio.
The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
One of the big stories going on is what happened to this guy from the show Empire, the Fox television show. And the actor Jussie Smollett is the person in question here. And the original story that came out was like, bam, this big bombshell. Holy cow. This guy who is a gay actor, he's a black male, says somebody pops out and they've got like a MAGA hats on or something. They're screaming, this is MAGA country, and they attack him and throw bleach on him. And that they knew who he was because they mentioned him by name and said some slurs that indicated that they knew he was a gay man as well. He says this, and the story explodes. And then additional details roll in, like, oh, he had a noose around his neck. And it just sounds like the worst thing in the world, like a real racist, homophobic attack. But when you hear more and more details, or at least when I do, it doesn't add up, and it seems like an incredibly fishy story. And you wonder, well, if somebody's not telling the truth about this, are they telling the truth about the rest of this? And then what the hell happened here? And the good news is this. In Chicago, especially in River North, which is where he was, I was looking at the area and everything and where all the walking took place to get familiar with this. There are cameras everywhere there, which is good. When you have a story like this and the police are trying to investigate and possibly find the two people who did this, you want as much footage as you possibly can get. And so they start looking. And what they find out is they know the exact path that Jussie Smollett walked from Subway all the way back to his friend's apartment where he was seen. And then about 40 minutes later, they ended up calling the police and filing this police report. So they only had a couple of gaps on the video where they hadn't seen anything. And they said there is no video of Jussie Smollett being attacked, which you go, look, if this is a story and there's no video of him being attacked, this is starting to look like it didn't actually happen. And then the story comes out like, boom, we're going to release photos of the suspects or people who are wanted in connection with this case. We want to talk to these people and get some more information. And then they release, I guess, the only photo of two people that they could find anywhere around this time.
Yeah. So if you know two suspicious silhouettes,
yeah,
be sure to call the police.
You can't make out if it's two men or a man and a woman or what race they are, or I mean, it looks like a Slender Man photo or something. You can't see anything in this picture that they released. They also released a picture that was, I think, like 15 or 25 minutes prior to the attack with them walking in the opposite direction. So you go, what is the point of all of this? They're trying to fish here to see if they can find anything. And everybody's going to be very shocked to learn that according to Chicago PD, they've gotten zero tips off this photo so far. If you've seen it, you understand exactly why.
Are you kidding me?
No tips off the photo that nobody could make out anything from.
Why would you protect these two shadows?
These shadows are on their own. I'm not trying to protect anybody here. The police also said they have not found any container because they said there was a container thrown at him and there was some bleach in it. There was some stuff about that that doesn't line up. And it's just they're trying to lock in what happened here. So to be as accurate as possible, I found this from a reporter in Chicago, the ABC News reporter there, who's doing a great job. And he talks about all the latest information. This is stuff that you probably won't find in any of the reports and stuff. So here they go. They say the images of two potential persons of interest show them walking in the general area where Smollett is. It does not show an assault. Also, the quality of the images is not great. Not great is an understatement, I think. This was before they released them. They said, update. The Chicago Police Community Alert that will include images of two potential persons of interest in the Smollett case is expected in the next 30 minutes. Remember, we're being told the quality is not great, so they were really trying to push that. Then they said, new ABC is reporting that Smollett's music manager, Brandon Moore, has confirmed a Variety report that he was on the phone with Smollett during the alleged attack and heard some of the incident. Brandon Moore, the manager, said he gave his story to the Chicago police, and he said he could confirm that he heard MAGA country clearly and heard a racial slur while he was on the phone. So the police said, okay, can we see your phone so we can see that you guys communicated with each other during this walk? For some reason, they're not willing to give up the phones. They don't want to give police phones to prove that they were on a phone call and that Brandon Moore actually heard this. Then they say, however, deputies are unable to independently verify the call occurred because Smollett refused to turn over his cell phone. Then we get back onto the people in this picture. This is the important stuff right here. Detectives used time code from two different cameras to piece together Smollett's movements when he was near them. On one camera, you see these two people seated at a bench. The other camera shows Smollett across the street. Police say both Smollett and the persons of interest walk out of frame on different cameras. Smollett would reappear on a different camera about a minute later. At this point, he's walking into the apartment building and he has a piece of rope tied around his neck. That is the gap. There is 60 seconds where they don't have any footage, and they're suggesting that these people were around there at that time, or the persons of interest were. The next time Smollett's seen on surveillance camera, he's entering a condo building. Police say he now has a rope around his neck and is wearing it like a necktie. He walks right past security at the front door and goes up to his acquaintance's home. 40 minutes later, that's where he calls 911. So if you do the math on this, they got a 60-second gap. And in that 60 seconds, I looked at this street. Where he walked was probably at least 20 seconds or so. And then the other people would have had to walk to catch up with him as well. Now you're really whittling away at this time. You've got like a 30-second, 15-second maybe time period where these people allegedly attacked him, all this stuff happened, he got the rope thrown around his neck, and there's no video of any of this, as far as I can say.
Did he definitely not have the rope on in the previous video, pre-gap?
The video that they, you know what, before that moment, I don't know, I don't think they might have not have been able to see that. Mm. Because the security footage is just him walking down the street. The security footage from the apartment building is as clear as day, and you can see that he's got that around his neck. He didn't have it when they saw him at Subway. It also took him, for some reason, 40 minutes to get from Subway back to the apartment, which doesn't look that far away. There's just a lot of information here that conflicts with the story that this guy is telling. I hope that they find more video.
They have a new witness, too. A neighbor has come forward with a timeline in which she saw two men loitering outside that building.
Yeah, and there's problems with that, too. She said she saw these people at 12:30, and Chicago Police Department doesn't have any evidence that those people were there.
I mean, it's not like, I understand the video evidence part of it, but I mean, we've dealt with situations here in Orlando in which a like terrible crime happened, and the footage that the security cameras that are all around Lake Eola were not working, and that's when it got discovered.
Well, but that's not the problem in this case. The security cameras were working. They just don't show anything that this actor says happened. And I know people don't want to think that. You don't want to think somebody would make up that story. But
no, I don't see why they would.
Well, people do it all the time for attention, to push causes that they believe in. I mean, there's a list a mile long of stories just in the last couple of years that people have done exactly like that. So, I mean, there are definitely reasons and motivations for doing that. I know you don't want to believe that this person would be lying about something like this, but I'm not seeing anything that shows to me that this occurred in the way that it did. In fact, all the evidence is pointing to the opposite of that. And I hope that they have more. I hope that they find more information. If these guys attacked him in this time period that they don't have in the camera, I hope they find that. And then I hope they find those people. There will be more information. Because whoever sent this threat card, or whatever you'd like to call it, which was very much done in the style of somebody who kidnapped another person, like with the magazine letters chopped down, they sent that through the regular mail because the stamps on it are like, you know, voided out. Like that went through the mail process. And if you have signed up for this thing, Celan and I get this, I know I get to see my mail as it's coming through the system. They know the history of this piece of mail and where it's gone. And they could probably trace it back to the very first facility where this thing showed up. So that could help out with this, too. It's a terrible story. But the problem is, you shouldn't just believe everything you hear because you have empathy for the people involved. People do make up stories like this. And when the details sound just a little too much to make sense, well, I think what happens here is you find out what your cognitive biases are. If you believe that the world is a place full of people like this, you're going to believe the story. you're going to think, yes, of course somebody went out there and attacked him because he's black and gay and yelled, this is MAGA country. Of course that occurred, because that's how I view society right now.
Or, I mean, if it's the opposite way, that you're, are you a skeptic of everything that's put out because you don't believe that there's terrible people in this world?
No, I'm going to be foolish not to think there were terrible people out there, but I'm a skeptic of things that I see like this. Any story that I see where things just don't seem to add up. Honestly, if the story didn't have so many details in it, in the Bleach and the MAGA country in Chicago, which... it was odd in the temperature that was it was at the time there in Chicago. If all those details weren't there, I probably wouldn't even have thought twice about it. But with all the details, you start to say, hang on a second. And then when one after another just doesn't seem to add up, you know, it's not being evil or being mean or whatever to question these things.
Well, it's just like when there's not enough evidence, then it's not believed. But then when there's too much detail, then it's not believed.
No, that's not evidence, though. I'm saying when there's too much in the story, it starts to sound like a fake story. Mm. When there's actual evidence, the evidence that the police have brought up in this story, there's nothing at all that lines up with this. So that's where the problem is. And the person at the center of it, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why any of this is happening. And I don't know if the Chicago police will find more that maybe proves that something happened here. But I can tell you that the story isn't adding up now. And everybody's so scared of it, because then you're a homophobic person and you're a racist for not believing, for suggesting that some of this stuff doesn't line up. And I think so many people have seen this story and reacted in the same way. They're like, wait a second here. But you're afraid. You know, you're afraid to put it out there and even suggest that this might not be true, because somebody is going to completely attack you for being a bad person for doing so. So we'll see where that goes. Maybe they find out some more information. Maybe they don't. Sometimes these stories just fizzle out, and that's the end of it. But this one has a lot of eyeballs on it, and I know ABC in Chicago is planning another report for tonight. What will we hear? I'll keep an eye on it, and we'll follow up as the week rolls on. When we come back, a very, very painful, painful sexual encounter. This is going to be a tough one to listen to, but trust me, it's worth the ride. Stay where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday Alexa will do everything. Yeah. Alexa, can you take the dog for a walk?
Ha ha ha. No way in hell.
But until then, tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Yep.
He won't hesitate to call you out when you're being a little ASCII. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
We'll get your dispatches in just a moment. We'll see what's on your mind. You set up through the News Junkie app, and we'll play them back in just a second. I saw this story to grab my attention, not because somebody was drinking and driving, but there's like one detail here where I said, wait, this doesn't seem to add up. It says driver was 6 times over the legal limit. Okay, that makes sense. People get that drunk. We see all these people who get, I think they call them super DUIs, when somebody's just really, really way over the legal limit. So, okay, I get it. Somebody's making a really, really bad decision and they got too drunk and they were driving. But the rest of the story is, driver was 6 times over the limit after downing nearly a bottle of wine.
Damn.
I think there must have been a little more at work here than like almost a bottle of wine. There's people who have almost a bottle of wine on a lark on a Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, and they're not anywhere near as drunk as this. They said that they decided to be lenient with this person. God, their name is just as difficult as can be. Kenegasingam Chelamuthuthu is the individual in Nottingham who was arrested here.
I mean, how big was this bottle?
It says, drank 3/4 of a 70 cl bottle of wine after leaving his workplace. That's not going to get you to 6 times the legal limit unless you're like 16 inches tall. Like, you would have to be tiny to be drunk off of that little of alcohol.
That's not even the...
Well, that drunk.
But that's not even the size of bottles of wine that we normally buy. Usually we buy a 750, right?
I don't know. What's 70 cl? 70 cubic?
That's 700 milliliters.
Okay, so 700 milliliters.
CL, though?
Yeah, centiliter.
And they said that he had 3/4 of it. No way does that get you... Let's see here. They do theirs not by BAC, but by micrograms. And he had 190 micrograms of alcohol and 100 milliliters of breath. Maybe that translates into a BAC. The legal limit is 35 micrograms. He had 190. That's how drunk this guy was. This was, it says, in Nottingham that it happened. I'm going to tell you how to spell his last name so you can follow along. CHELLAMUTHTHU. That's the guy's name. This was the highest Nottinghamshire police had recorded in the last 6 years. This guy. So there must have been many, many more bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Because it says, Shelamuthu, who has a drinking problem, works with his wife in an off license, and they earn around £1,400 a month between them. So that's what they said. The couple has 2 children, 5 and 7. I think he might have been drinking a little bit more than that 3/4 bottle of wine that they got him to admit to. Let's go to some of these dispatches. And Husky is back. I guess maybe he's rethinking things. Let's hear from him.
Coyotes are a real nuisance here in Central Florida. I live in Altamont, not too far from Wakiva Springs. And they come down the river all the time, just like the bears. But coyotes steal cats in the middle of the night. And it's horrible. So as bad as that video was of the guy defending himself from a rabid coyote and punting him, you know, that's not cool to see. But you know what's worse is hearing a cat getting taken by a coyote.
And man, Husky, what are you doing?
Husky, you've been doing this for years.
You know what the rules are. There's not many of them, but one of them is you can't do that. Yeah, coyotes are terrible, though. Here's Dan Rip with the dispatch.
Dude, $1,000 to ditch Facebook? I would snatch that up in a second. If I didn't delete mine 7 years ago, man, I would definitely take that cash and never look back. Facebook's for suckers. Get out there and do something with your life.
Get out there in the world, he says. C-Lane would not ditch his Facebook for $2,000 a year. That fellow would definitely.
It seems like a low amount.
It, you know what, though? It's easier for him to say, oh, that's great, because he doesn't have it to begin with. He got rid of it 7 years ago. He's not going to miss it if he doesn't even have it right now. So that's an easier choice to make. Here's Whack Attack.
Hey, News Junkies, Whack Attack here. Hey, Sabrina, I like the suggestion of a thumb up the butt, but I think
the
just
coyote.
Like alligators, I think if you were to take your thumbs and gouge the coyote's eyeballs, it might be a little less invasive but and more effective, which is very important. So maybe give that a try. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
All the holes.
Here's the thing. I don't want to ever have to attempt any of these things. I'd rather just not get attacked by a coyote. That would be ideal for me. Here's Charles with a dispatch.
This is the angry trucker. I'm out here AKA delivering Charles. These piles and beans trying to help with the I-4 corridor.
All right.
When you guys see my direction on, let me over. Let me over!
Trust me, I do, Charles. When one of those big-ass trucks puts its blinker on, I'm moving over as fast as I possibly can because I know you'll just plow over me. Half these vehicles, when you got like a big construction truck, like a long, long construction truck with a bunch of equipment on it, they'll turn on their blinker and it's basically just get out of my way because eventually I am moving over towards this side of the road. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. Here's Bitcoin Dave.
About that attorney that you guys are wondering where he is, maybe he's in the witness protection program where no one will be able to find him.
He's not. Just saying. He's not in the witness protection program. There's a lot of other questions, but that's not the answer to this mystery. There's going to be some more details on this tomorrow. I promise you that. And it might answer some questions. Here's Larry with a dispatch.
When it comes to this lawyer, are we just ruling out the chance of alien abduction?
Yeah.
Question mark.
That's the only thing.
Damn, this isn't talk to text. I must be very high.
You probably are. But yeah, I think that's one thing it's safe to rule out. I don't believe that alien abduction factored into this story. We were talking about a wine bottle, three quarters empty, and a man drunk to a record level, basically. Another wine bottle in this story. A man's penis snapped during sex, swelled to the size of a wine bottle.
Oh,
man has vowed to be more careful while having sex with his girlfriend after he slipped and fractured his penis. Sean Marsden is his name. He's 48. And he said he heard a crack that left him writhing in pain that was off the scale while he was injured making love. He said his penis swelled to the size of a wine bottle soon after and was later discovered that, as well as the fracture, he tore his urethra.
Oh, wow.
Doubling up on the ouch reactions to this one. They gave him morphine to dull the pain. There's photos of the guy. They were censored in the ones that I saw, but I couldn't tell, like, were they trying to show that it was swelled to the size of a wine bottle or what was going on? It was just a man and then a blur. That's all you could see. Sean Marsden is 48 years old. He's the guy who ended up in this situation. He described how he was unable to walk properly following the accident where he slipped into the pelvis of his girlfriend, Louise Gray, 36 years old. He instantly knew something was wrong and dialed 999. That's their version of 911, and ended up in a real bad spot. He said he is only having sex every once in a while with his girlfriend now. It's a little bit much for him to deal with. Let's talk to Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, when I worked at this bar out in Texas, there was one of my regulars, and that happened to him. He was having sex with his wife, and she broke his penis. But we had to hear this every day at the bar. It was like, really? You know, you've told this story, you know, over and over. Let me fill in the parts that you've missed, you know.
So this was his go-to, Beth? Everybody would be sitting down, and he would try to hold court by telling the broken penis story again?
Oh, yeah. It was like, you know, it was just a little neighborhood bar.
Right.
And, you know, but everybody knew the story, and after a while, it was like, shut up.
We're tired of hearing about your penis.
Yeah. And, you know, don't do sex the way you got it broke.
Yeah. That's a perfectly said, Beth. Don't do sex the way you got it broke.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Thank you for the information. Appreciate you, Beth. Coming back with the final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And, of course, today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Preparing you
for the impending robot uprising.
This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a lovely Thursday. Another secret show headed your way later this afternoon. They post on Friday, actually, but you can get involved. There is a free week trial for everybody. The magnets, I've been informed by my girlfriend Courtney, have arrived. Finally, they're on the doorstep. I can ship those out and get them to everybody this weekend and into next week. I
sure hope they're not on the doorstep.
They're in the house. They were left on the doorstep and then pulled into the house.
It would be a huge game of magnet score.
Oh, man, that's a bad idea, actually. But we have those magnets, and we'll be sending them out this weekend. I'll be sending them to new Secret Show subscribers. Get on the action. Search for Get Secret Shows or just go to GetSecretShows.com and sign up for that free week trial. And hopefully you like everything and you want to stick around and enjoy the show. Again, GetSecretShows.com is where you can find that. A robot story has once again raised its ugly head into the headlines, and no one seems to be on the offensive or even the defensive when it comes to robots just yet. A robot that thinks for itself from scratch brings forward the rise of self-aware machines. Engineers at Columbia University claim to have smashed one of the biggest barriers in the field of robotics after a mechanical arm, which had not been programmed with any instructions, began performing practical tasks after just a few hours. which is pretty crazy. They gave this robot the ability to imagine itself and figure things out and figure out what it could do and should do. And within a couple hours, the robot programmed itself to do some of these things. There was a lot of nonsense. It spent approximately 35 hours moving about at random, but there was intensive machine learning computing going on at this time. Eventually, it was able to understand its own dimensions and capabilities. And you should be freaking out, man. Absolutely freaking out. Before we get to the final dispatches, you can follow everybody on social media. I'm at The News Junkie on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheNewsJunkie is the main show page where you can go by and like that and follow along with things. At The News Junkie on Instagram and Twitter, you know, you could post things. I'm not there usually, so I don't see it, but at The News Junkie on there and other platforms as well. Sabrina is all over the place, too.
Yes, I am, at Sabrina Ambra for the most part, unless you're on TikTok, at Sabby Cat Cat.
Oh, somebody asked about that on one of the dispatch. I think one of the final dispatches asked that if we hit that one here. So what is it, Sabby Cat Cat on TikTok? That's the up-and-coming social media app. Where you like make reaction videos and then react to people's reaction videos.
Yeah, I just harass Biscuit Babe.
You could do that too. I saw somebody did take your cat annoyance challenge.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think it was on Instagram or annoy your cat challenge at one point.
I guess they tag me if you do it.
I think they. I thought they
did.
Sabrina
Ambra. Maybe it was just you.
I thought they tagged both of us. It was on Instagram. It was a couple maybe last week or something. C-Lane, where are you at?
C_Lane on Twitter or CLANE86, Clane86 on Instagram.
All right. And you can get the podcast, search for The News Junkie in any podcast program, and subscribe for the whole damn thing. Here's Joseph with a dispatch.
Hey, News Junkies.
Hey.
Joe and Mike here. First time dispatch, long time listener.
All right.
We're out here on the road quite often. And I hear you guys talking about yodis.
Yodis? Oh, coyotes.
We feel it's necessary to throw that thumb into Yodi's butt.
All right, you're losing me, Joseph. Try harder next time. Thank you for participating, though. Here's Beyonce, Sabrina, and me.
Hey, guys. I'm dispatching from Durham, North Carolina at a balmy 31 currently. But I want to start a debate concerning yesterday because Sean said Cheerios are disgusting, even Honey Nut, which is a bold-faced lie. But you also said, like, there's, like, hierarchy to cereal, and I feel like there's only one champ in this game, and I'm definitely going Fruit Loops with marshmallows. Fight me on it. Let's discuss. Have a great day.
I don't even know if I've had Fruit Loops with marshmallows, but I could be into that. I mean, it sounds good. I like the stuff that's much more sinful. Like, that's why
sinful.
I look down on regular Cheerios because if I'm going to have a bowl of cereal, I want something that is straight bad for me.
I used to love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That was a good time.
Yeah, that's good. And there's a couple of cereals. There's a bunch of them, actually, where you get the side benefit of after leaving it around in the milk for long enough, now the milk becomes delicious. And then you could drink the damn Cinnamon Toast milk, which I could do all day long. It's a fantastic time. Here's Skipper Style.
Wow, Sean, you've been doing good covering this missing attorney. Starting to sound like a new Netflix series.
I don't think so.
Get involved in that. We'll see what happens when this concludes. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
All right, I think we're going to have some information soon. Here's my cousin Moe's.
What's up, Junkies?
Hey!
Unfortunately, today I missed most of the show work, which sucks, but I'm sure you're looking for a good dispatch.
Please.
And have I got a good one for you. So stay tuned to my cousin Moe's.
Say tuned?
On the News Junkie app, here on Real Radio 104.
I do the teases. You don't do the teases. It's a dispatch. Just give it to me now. Here's Concrete Mike.
Good afternoon and happy Thursday, News Junkie crew. I have a solution for the rabid coyote problems.
What's that?
I am currently looking into purchasing a dozen Roadrunners, and I am going to release them in random locations around Osceola County.
That could work.
That should keep the coyotes busy enough to stop biting people and eventually will fall off a cliff and die like they do in the cartoons.
Good luck with that. Let's do one more real quick. Here's Logical Fallon.
What's up, News Junkie crew? I was just listening to the next episode, with Sabrina, and I was very excited to learn that they were going to have the Back to the Future cast at MegaCon this year.
That's big.
Right up until that, I learned that it's going to cost $1,100 to meet them. And then I was like, nope.
That's insane.
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
11 grand?
For that much money, I better get a picture with each of them individually, to say hi.
I want to go in the DeLorean. Like, I want to do everything. I want to do a script read.
For $1,100, I better go Back to the Future with Doc.
Man, that is steep. I didn't know it was that expensive. That is going to still draw in some mega fans at some point here. Let's do the stories that didn't make the cut. If you feel like you're alone in this political world with craziness abounding, well, you're probably not. 55% of voters nationwide would be at least somewhat likely to vote for a third-party presidential candidate in 2020. 17 very likely to do so. They say, this doesn't make any sense. Only 51% majority, but 51% believe it would be good for America to have a serious third-party candidate. Only 18% believe it would be bad. I guess there's a bunch of people who are not decided there. And the amount of Americans that are independents, some people don't even realize this. It's always the case, okay? It is always the case. It's been the case since you've been alive. It is always the case that there are more independents than there are Republicans. There are more independents than there are Democrats. It's just they don't really make as much noise as the partisans. And the partisans get all of the mic time, all of the attention, even though there's so many more people that are just kind of fed up with all the team play. So we're watching that and the Schultz stuff out there. No real major updates on that just yet. Steven Seagal did some weird interviews. I don't have time to really get into that. Jermaine Jackson is saying, let Michael Jackson rest because this Leaving Neverland thing is getting attention. And you think it's getting attention now from premiering at Sundance? Wait till this thing drops on HBO. At that point, you're going to see a lot of people talking about it. And KFC is testing a new sandwich, the Cheetos chicken sandwich. Mm. And they're going with a fried chicken sandwich with a whole bunch of, yes, you guessed it, Cheetos right along with.
Are there Cheetos in the sandwich or are they breading the chicken in Cheetos?
It just looks like a pile of Cheetos underneath the chicken breast.
So good.
To me, it gives you a crunch. Oh, man, it'll probably be pretty tasty. Maybe a little bit much, though. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky.
Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
That is Today I Learned for a Thursday, January 31st, 2019. 7 stories from around the web and around the world and all that good stuff. Let's get into the action. This band nobody is going to get. Today I Learned, the guitarist for this group here.
That's the old Steel Boys.
That's not the Steel Boys, but it does start with an S.
The Sucky...
Blank the Crows.
Suck the Crows.
Not Suck the Crows. Would have gotten them some attention.
Snipe the Crows.
Stone the Crows.
Stone the Crows.
Is correct. The guitarist, Les Harvey of this band, Stone the Crows, died when he was electrocuted live on stage during a show in 1972. They said it was a rainy day with puddles on the stage. And he was attempting to touch a microphone that was not earth-grounded.
Oh, no good.
A roadie attempted to unplug the guitar, but was unsuccessful. He died from his injuries and just zapped to death. Today I learned heavy metals can cause semen to turn black.
Okay.
A study in 2013 that found that high levels of heavy metals, such as lead, manganese, and nickel, in the blood may cause dark-colored semen. This could be exposure to contaminated food, water, or other environmental factors, or maybe you're just taking some things to do it on purpose.
Ew.
Either way, it's a little weird. Today in this series...
Batman!
The development of the original Batman movie in 1989 was a rocky, rocky road. They said that there were 50,000 protest letters that were sent to Warner Brothers protesting the casting of Michael Keaton. They said, he's a comedy actor. We can't have him in the serious role of Batman. Went on to be good, though. I thought he was good as Batman.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of people crapping on him. Today, there's a height requirement to become a sumo wrestler. To meet this requirement, 5'2" Tajeki Harada underwent multiple plastic surgeries to get silicone implants under his scalp. Adding,
smaller for sumo?
He added 6 inches to his height by putting silicone on top of his head so he could be a sumo.
That's a big forehead.
That is very odd.
11 head.
Today I learned this group right here.
Oh, Pet Shop Boys?
Pet Shop Boys is right. Yeah. Nice. I would never have got that. Pet Shop Boys are the most successful duo slash group on the dance charts in U.S. history. They have 11 number one jams, 13 top fives, over 33 years. In the world of dance music, no one more successful than the Pet Shop Boys. Today, I learned there's a winter blend and a summer blend of gasoline. Mm-mm-mm. In fact, there are some 20 different blends of gasoline to meet overlapping state and federal guidelines. And finally, today, I learned the lead singer of this band.
Oh, My Chemical Romance?
Yep. My Chemical Romance is correct. Gerard Way, the lead singer, is a big fan of comic books. And in the Spider-Verse, he was able to pen a couple of issues. He's the creator of Penny Parker. And loves, loves, loves everything Spider-Man. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. And we'll be back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show is coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. And it's all right here on Real Radio.